United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go!
Now, here's Tracy Winbush.
There was a time when I was so brokenhearted. Love wasn't much of a friend of mine. The tables have turned.
Yeah.
Caught me in the way that parted. That kind of love was a killing kind.
Listening to Tracy and Friends. Jeff, what is wrong with this? I was trying to find a certain song. I guess this ain't it.
That's not it.
Yes, it is. You know what? I'm looking for a guitar lick, and I can't find it.
You got to turn the headphones up, probably.
No, your headphones just not up. Mine, they're up over here. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We're back in the studio. Jeff is here with me. Today is Tuesday. It is the 2nd of... September 2014, we are now, I could have done that one. Hold on. I got a better song. Hold on.
The 2nd of September, that is.
Hold on.
Summertime is almost over.
No, it's not. We're going to have an, no, Jeff, don't bite your
I
mouth.
Hope we stay warm through.
No.
Thanksgiving, and then.
Then have 2 days of snow?
Wait, snow. It can snow all of December, and it can snow all of January. And then Groundhog Day, he should be coming out there with a cooler.
Nice try, Jeff.
I want him drinking
nice
a cooler
nice
when
try.
He comes
nice
out.
Nice try. See, I could have started here.
Oh, yeah.
Is that better?
I can't hear anything, right?
Why can't you hear anything? I don't know why you can't hear anything, Jeff. Then put it in the book. Put it into another thing. I don't know why you can't hear. Hey, Jeff can't hear. I don't know why you can't hear me.
I don't know whether it's the headphones.
It's not the headphones.
It can't be. Okay. Well,
why can't you hear?
Well, it's just not happening.
You have to be able to hear.
I don't know what's the board on, because don't forget it was set somewhere for because of the fair.
I know that wouldn't do it.
Okay.
See?
Nope. That's not it. Okay. Well, we'll leave that alone. Good
can
morning, everybody. Huh?
Can you hear me now?
I hear, but it's not like it should be. I got this thing all the way up. That's good. Yeah. It's too loud for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Hey, okay, I'm quit messing around with Jeff today.
Yeah.
Because I'm really losing. I had a good time. I had a good time at the fair.
You know what? I had a good week.
I didn't eat a lot.
I didn't get to eat a lot. I wanted to eat a lot, but I
didn't.
But I got to give a shout-out to one set of people.
Who?
Drunken Moose Barbecue.
You found them.
I found Drunken Moose. I never found our corn people from last year.
Some people found them, but it was late last night when they found them, and I couldn't.
Where were they?
I don't know. They found they were walking by with corn.
No, there was plenty of corn. There was two corn people there.
Oh, okay.
But there wasn't our corn people there.
It wasn't our corn people.
No, the ones right over the way. They must have found another fair to go to or something. I hope everything's okay with them.
Hey, well, you know, I think there were several fairs this year.
There's everything going on. My God.
Bill Johnson came out and hung with us for a very, very long time on Sunday. He
oh,
stayed,
good.
He stayed at least 3 or 4 hours
mm-hmm.
and walked the fair and ate Molnar cinnamon rolls and the apple dumplings. I did good until yesterday. Yesterday I didn't do so well.
Really?
No, I am. Yesterday I had, I was there every day, and I had, something healthy, and then I had something sweet. But on yesterday, I had French fries. I had apple cobbler, peach cobbler. I had apple dumpling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tom forgot to bring me my cotton candy.
Oh, you didn't get cotton candy?
I didn't get any cotton candy.
You know what?
I'm telling you, I'm trying to behave. I'm trying to get my childhood figure back.
I don't want my childhood figure back. As long, am I making noise over there?
Not yet. It's a wonder. Hey, Jeffrey.
What?
Guess what?
Well, I'm coming through. Okay.
Listen, you need to make sure you don't have no nude pictures out there, because I hear there's a hacker and he's hacking phones.
Oh, he got
me. He's hacking the cloud.
Yeah, he can't.
I told y'all Sam was getting cut.
You sure did.
I told y'all.
And we told you that they can't afford to cut him, or somebody got to pick him up.
I told y'all Sam was getting cut.
Did Sam start to cry?
No, I missed that part.
No, I didn't, and I wish I had
him. I missed that part.
Oh my God. Where's Larry Long when you need him?
I told y'all. No, Larry working. I mean, Larry got a new Johnny job. He a big mucky muck now, so he can't call us.
Anymore. Oh,
okay, he working
good.
For real. But I told y'all Sam was getting cut. I read it. They said they was going to cut him. And so when he went, I guess he sacked the quarterback. Who was it, the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, Manziel.
Okay, it was Johnny Football, right?
Yeah.
He sacked Johnny Football, mm-hmm. And that was a highlight of
his career. Well, somebody probably will pick him up.
No, they ain't.
That they can bring him back for the practice squad.
Right. He can come back and get beat up, but he's not going to play. He's not that good.
He's not that good.
And as a matter of fact, where I was reading the other day, they said, don't worry about it. There's a bunch of gay players out there. They just ain't got the box yet.
Well, of course there is, but that's not the point. The point is just this doesn't make any sense.
What doesn't make any sense?
To make all of this hullabaloo about it.
Yeah, they have to get a hullabaloo. You got the hullabaloo.
No, well, they hullabaloo.
You have to.
No.
It made news, didn't it?
It made too.
We're talking
news.
About it, right?
Yeah.
It all worked.
I guess. But anyway.
What?
I went to the Whispers concert.
Where?
Down in Akron. And you know what? I'm going to be on this today because I'm going to bring some people here just like they do down there.
You going to bring the Whispers in?
I do only jazz. See, we only bring in jazz on purpose. We want a certain mindset.
Well, can you bring in? I want you to bring in Gerald Albright. Bring Gerald Albright
please.
In and do me a favor and have him bring his wife or have her send a cake.
Really?
Absolutely.
She cooked cake for you. You that's her cake before.
Oh, she send cake. She melt cake. You understand?
That's good.
She makes a cake for. She makes a sugar free cake.
Well, that's
for people who are diabetic.
That's one of my heroes. Don't give. I'm not giving any names right now because there is another R&B artist I do want to bring. And I think that that'll set us apart from everybody else in the world.
I went to the All North High School reunion.
Yeah,
I did that on Saturday.
You and them came down Sunday to Jazz in the Park.
Okay, they had it was really nice. They had their Hall of Fame and they had North High Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah,
and so they inducted several people, Rick Beverly and Sherman Smith.
Sherman, yeah.
And I should have wrote these names down. I'm going to get in so much trouble. Dolly
Atkins. Not Ron.
Ron who?
Wigfall.
No, Ron Wigfall.
He was in basketball, so I don't know.
Well, they did a little bit of cross-section. They're going to do it every year or every 2 years when they come back to the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, really nice. And I had a good time with that. So I did that on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to the fair Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't go to the fair Saturday either. But what I did is I was not playing Saturday night, so we got in the car and ran down to Akron because the Whispers were down there for
$10.
$10. Now, here it is. I get all the way up front to not the VIP section, but three rows back from the VIP section. We're sitting on the edge. Do you know that folks busted down that aisle, and they just got in the way of everybody sitting down? We started to use our chairs as, weapons and start beating people because we were that angry.
Why would you be angry?
Because they were standing in front of us, and they did not have chairs.
Did you understand that that's what happens when you have $10 tickets?
That is true. When you have $10 tickets, you get a certain type of people. But I'm going to tell you what. I appreciate them for how they ran, you know, given the concerts, but I don't appreciate them for their security because they didn't have any.
Well, they need
if
that.
Something jumped off in there. In fact, the cop came up to move everybody back. He looked at all them faces, turned around, and walked away.
Absolutely.
He said, I started to beat the cop.
They said they ain't paying that much. Good morning, Eric. Ain't paying that much.
Hands up, don't shoot.
Hey, Tracy, hey, Jeff, how y'all doing?
Hey, did you guys hear where there people are boycotting the New York Times because they ran an article on the gentleman who got shot in Missouri, Ferguson, Michael Brown, and it wasn't a favorable outlook of him, and so people are upset and they're boycotting.
Good for them and good for whoever. I don't care.
Hey, Tracy,
I'm done.
Yeah.
You hear about the girl that shot the gun instructor?
Yeah, I did. Younger, 9-year-old. Yes.
Yeah. Now that was. I'm sorry, but I got to blame the instructor for that. He should have been holding that gun with her.
That's what Stick says. Stick is talking about
automatic, full automatic.
Yeah, Stick said, and actually, he should have been standing behind her. He should have been standing behind her, holding the gun with her, because if you realize the recoil was going to happen, he should have known that. So he it's almost one of those people where you deserve to get shot.
Yeah, sad case, but it could have been prevented.
But the question is, would you allow your daughter to start learning how to use an Uzi at that age?
No, that's not necessary.
No, I don't think so either. And I'm doing some research, and I'm reading Condoleezza Rice's book, her memoirs, of being national security advisor as well as her being Secretary of State, and it's giving me a lot of insight, and I'm going to talk about a little bit more about that. My goal is to get her on. I just want everyone to know that if anybody has an in, my goal is to get her on because she's a bad girl. And it's giving me a whole lot of insight to what's going on now. I was watching the news this morning when they were talking about President Obama's comments on last week, talking about he didn't have a strategy and how slow, you know, he's taking it cautious because he doesn't want us to rush into anything. And it was actually a gaffe because they really didn't want him to say it that way. And I'm like, are you guys really kidding me? And so there's a lot going on right now, and it's been going on for a number of years. And the president has walked into it, and he not only did reverse everything that has happened positively during the Bush administration, but he's gone all the way back to the Carter administration and really set things back that far. Secondly, I also want to talk about Russia today. I've got a guest coming on this morning at 10 o'clock. She's going to talk about detoxing and dieting, so I want to talk about that too. So we're going to move some things around, but I want to talk about Putin and Russia and Ukraine and what's going on there and how they handle things. I want to talk about the Middle East and what's going on there. Also want to talk about the White House because
that's a whole lot of talking.
I know, because there's a lot going on, and people are not paying attention, and people think that because you are a Republican and or you're a Democrat, you're not being fair. And what I'm saying is this is not about being fair. This is about being honest and opening up your eyes to see, because this weekend I see that they were on a tangent and on a rant about minimum wage and hiring and women's rights and all that
foolishness.
Stuff. And they were talking about a lot of stuff, but I mean, I know that it gets to the core of your everyday life, but if you don't have a life, then you're not going to need any money.
Yeah, this is true.
And we need to really understand that if we don't start securing our borders, if we don't start taking care of our national security, and if we don't start getting a vision of and a hold on what's going on globally, because we are no longer isolated into just the United States of America, you will never be that again. We are going to get upset, and the last thing I think we want is another 9/11. And we're getting ready to go into 9/11 in a couple days now, and they tell me that the numbers for Islam is 11, 7, and I think 3.
Okay.
And I may be wrong about the numbers, but they were saying that those are instrumental numbers for them.
Yeah, probably.
And we're heading into 9/11, and I think 14.
I don't
because
know.
Because this is 11/14. This is 2/11/14. And so you're looking at people who are they really don't like you.
Listen, they don't like anybody that is not them. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with anything else. They don't even like other Muslims that don't believe as they do. And they will kill them at will. These people are cancers. in the population of the world. And if you want to know how cancer operates, you're looking at it in ISIS. Please wake up and see what we're talking to you about.
And I was reading an article. What did you say, Eric?
I said, these people, they'll kill each other in a heartbeat.
Are you on a speaker, or did you change phones, or what did you do?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was going to say, these people, I mean, they'll change, they'll turn on you in a heartbeat. I mean, they're just there's no loyalty with these people.
Americans tend to think that if we actually just are nice to them, then they'll be nice to us, and that's just not how this works.
Not Americans.
And I also want to talk about Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, who had a big barbecue 2 weeks ago.
No, Jimmy Carter, who went to the
Islamists.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that too.
He can afford to do that now because he's no longer the worst president in history. I'm telling you. He's happy.
So, wait a minute.
Clap alone when if you feel like Obama is the truth.
No.
Clap alone.
Listen, I got to take a break.
If you feel one of Jimmy's caught a two front tooth.
You know, I'm upset with you. I'm going to tell you during the break why I'm upset with you.
Okay.
I'm upset with you.
Well, do that.
But I got to play something because Dr. Matt sent me this.
Do that, but don't forget, I don't know certain things. You got to help me.
I'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Ice Bucket Challenge has reached Youngstown State University. On Friday, President Jim Tressel and YSU deans will take the challenge to support ALS. If you want to watch, it'll happen at noon on campus. What's different about this one, students can buy tickets today and tomorrow for the right to douse Tressel or the deans with water. Tickets are $1 or 6 for $5. Austin Town Elementary School is trying to help kids keep their cool in class. The school created a sensory room with dim lighting, soothing colors, and swings. It's designed to help the younger kids cope if they ever get overwhelmed in school. Parents will be able to check out the new sensory room soon. And a 38-year-old Glenmore area man was found dead on the side of Grimms Bridge Road Saturday morning. The man has been identified as Joseph Robinson. There were no signs of trauma to the victim, and an autopsy is being performed. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
You're a good driver. You grew up with those drive defensively public service announcements, and that's how you drive. At Crab Insurance Agency, we offer discounts for mature drivers who drive safely through Grange Insurance. We figure if you've been around the block a few times and done it safely, you deserve a break. Talk to Crab Insurance, your Grange independent agent, about these and other Grange discounts. 330-332-1586.
Products not available in all states.
For yet another month, the new car market's been booming. J.D. Power and LMC Automotive are forecasting August new car sales to hit the highest level of the year. But in the back seat this week, the American Customer Satisfaction Index showed that overall consumer satisfaction with their new cars has fallen for the second straight year. Hello, can you hear me now? With the advent of digital technology, telecom providers are in the process of replacing scratchy, thin voice quality with HD audio. The transformation will eventually come to landlines, but it's already arriving in the mobile world. The feds are concerned because watermelons don't come with nutrition labels, and they're working on rules that would correct this. As far as we've been able to determine, it's only sliced watermelons that are currently being considered as outlaws. Apparently, a provision in the Affordable Care Act, yeah, Obamacare, stipulates that as soon as a watermelon sliced, it becomes a potential restaurant serving and has to be labeled with calorie information. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm sitting here and was talking to Jeff, and I was trying to play something. And I guess you have to see the visual of it. Doc Mason sent me a clip of Happy, and it's this woman, and he says, this is what happens every time I hear the song Happy, and the woman walks in there, and it's an old movie. It's a black and white, and she walks over to the record, and she just breaks it. She said, this is how I feel every time I hear it. What else? I think I got Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter is you know, I said that last week when I was venting before you guys came up at the fair.
Yeah.
About how he went to the Hamas-sponsored organization talking, you know, whatever he talks. And then here it is. I'm loving this because on the caveat of that, Dianne Feinstein is tearing Barack Obama a new behind hole.
But she's doing it so lightly.
She is. She has to because
she
wants to
run for something. She's doing it so lightly because she's saying, you know, she's like, he's so cautious or something.
I think at this time, overcautious. But then she starts, you know, this
well,
ladies and gentlemen, look, wait, ladies and gentlemen, listen. This is the most dangerous situation that we've ever been in since.
I'm telling you, since Jimmy Carter, since the crisis, since 9/11, we are in trouble. Good morning, 440. How are you?
I'm doing good. Went to the Jog County Fair this weekend with the livestock auction. Pardon me?
You went over there. Didn't come to see us.
Yes, I did.
That's not nice.
Last Thursday.
You didn't stop and see. You didn't come and say hi to me.
I know that, but I told you why, but it's okay.
That's not the point. You're more important than anything else going on.
Wait a minute. There's two words I can say for that that I can't say them on here. I got a question to ask you.
What's that?
Have you noticed that our president is a total disconnect? There's only a couple things that can cause that. And I hate to think what one of them might be actually be true.
Okay. What do you think? What are the two things?
Well, whenever I see, sometimes when you see children in total disconnect, you know what that can mean. And I hate to think, I can't even bring myself to say it.
What happens to children when they're totally disconnected?
Well, a lot of things. Some of it could be mental health. Some of it could be drugs. Some of it could be a lot of things.
No.
But I have a bad feeling when I see somebody this disconnected.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I think.
I don't. Yeah.
Let me tell you what I think about this. If this was a job, I think President Obama would go find another one. He's decided he's checked out. He doesn't want to be there. The thrill is gone.
He checked out, that's for sure.
And I don't think, seriously, when I really believe that he said, okay, he got in this, and what he thought he was in, he was going in, he was, and it's not what he thought it was. And he is now, the thrill is gone, and he is, like, checked out. And I'm not quite sure if he can check back in, because it's so far gone, I don't think he understands what he was in when he was going into it. I don't know what he thought when he actually got in there. And I think that he is so far, this is so far beyond his scope of, you know, view, that he has found out that the decisions that he's made in the past really has set this course that he can't stop this.
Yeah, I don't think he realized how much foreign policy played a part in his job is when it comes down to.
That, pretty much. And, I mean, it was bigger than getting Osama bin Laden.
That he didn't really get in the first place. If it hadn't been for the Bush administration's planting of people and intelligence gathering over there, he would have never even known where he was.
But, and actually, waterboarding still continues to this day. But nevertheless, I don't think he realized the shoes that he was filling. I don't think he understood where he was walking into. And if you look at what's going, he really looks as though when he stayed on vacation and didn't come back, and when he continued to play golf after that young man got his throat slit, and when he came out the other day and made that press conference, and in that tan suit, he really lets you know that I have just checked out of here. Because I don't know what to do. And when he got up and actually opened up his mouth and actually says, we don't have a strategy. I mean, I know that there are gaffes, and I know there's a lot of foot and mouth syndrome when it comes to everyone, and especially in front of the media. But he actually spoke the truth because he didn't have a plan.
Yeah, he spoke the truth. That's for real.
He spoke the truth.
I mean,
he didn't have a plan.
There is so much inaction by him. There's so much, I can't even describe it.
He doesn't know what to do.
Really, we'd be better off with anybody but him.
No,
except Pelosi.
No,
we can't have that.
We wouldn't be better off with just anybody, because that still would not serve our case. We need somebody who's really going to be a leader, who is willing to actually fight the fight in front of them, who has a real grasp of what the job is and how to get to the other side. And because it's more than just speeches. And over this past weekend, the president went around the country again giving speeches.
I mean, Putin threatened us this weekend.
Yes, he did.
He said, he told us essentially, be careful. You don't know who you're dealing with. That's just out and out threat. I mean,
but you have to understand,
he has no respect for Obama at all. None.
I was telling you at the beginning when I first started the show that I'm reading Condoleezza Rice's memoirs of when she was National Security Advisor as well as Secretary of State. And in her book, it is long. It's like I'm listening, and it's like 35 hours. And she is only midway, and she's talking about these characters in which we're talking about today and what and the strategy and what she had to do to make sure that she was always on sound footing, that she kept the respect of the president, and that America was always respected. And when you hear her talk about Putin, Putin is a guy. He is a fighter.
He's a bully.
Absolutely.
He'll bully you if he can.
And you have to know how to handle a bully.
Please, somebody think about this. What was Putin's position before he became
KGB, wasn't it?
Thank you. Do you understand the KGB and our CIA are really synonymous as far as treachery and knowing what's going on? And
they're
knowing
ruthless.
They're very ruthless.
But
both organizations.
They're ruthless, but you have to know how to deal with it, and you have to be a diplomat, and you have to have – let me say this – and you have to have people around you, and this is something that I don't think President Obama has. He doesn't have people around him who have his back that care.
No. That's not it. It's not about the people don't care. He replaced everybody with the same type of thinking that he is. He replaced the gentlemen with these poo-butt generals that are out there, the people that actually plan wars. He replaced all of the advisors with poo-butt, college that he went to. What do you call that? Ivy League?
But what I'm saying,
Ivy Leaguers.
But what I'm saying is President Bush had Ivy Leaguers within his ranks.
He had real cats.
But when I say this, if you walk into, and I agree with you that he put in the same like-minded people in the room, but the like-minded people in the room don't know any more than he knows when it comes about strategy and how to get what he wants to get done.
Right. He's in
you don't need
amateur.
To be a homosexual to be effeminate, okay? You can be effeminate without being a homosexual. That's what you see in the White House. I'm sorry. You're seeing an effeminate-minded man. You're seeing an effeminate-minded administration. You're seeing effeminizing of the United States military and the United States government. That's what you're seeing. And when you have that, you don't have somebody that's standing up and being strong because guess what?
You can't.
You need testosterone to stand up to Titans.
Yes, he's got testosterone.
Huh?
He's got testosterone.
I didn't say he didn't. The effeminate people have testosterone too,
he's
but
a
it doesn't have an effect on
him. For sure. He's a metrosexual, that's for sure.
I understand that, but with him being a metrosexual, with him being the way that he is,
he's soft.
Let me say this.
Like
what'd you say, Eric?
He's like a substitute school teacher that tells the class to settle down. They look at him and laugh, and they get louder. You know.
That's exactly what you have. Because they know that they don't care about the kids. Know they don't care about them, and so they disrespect him. Well, in the world, they know that he's not going to stand up, so they disrespect him. ISIS is trying to take over Syria totally, but they thought it was so easy to come in and knock over Iraq.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when he's so ideological in his thinking. That he believed that if I pull everybody, I want everybody to like me. Because if you look at his history, he never made a case for or stand for anything up until the time he was president and then after. So he said a lot of stuff that was ideological, and I'm going to come out of Iraq. Afghanistan is my war. We're going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's what he said. Am I right?
That's what he said.
So he thought that if I come out of this war, everybody's going to love me.
Yep.
And so he came out. He didn't leave anyone behind. He was messing around, just like he went in there with Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
Mubarak,
mm-hmm.
and all these other guys. And he created this the Arab Spring, Benghazi. He created all this stuff going on over there,
mm-hmm.
thinking that I'm going to give people what they want, and then I'm going to pull all my troops out, and they're going to go and they're going to work this out on their own, and it's going to leave us all alone. He let these five guys go. And we have to understand, we didn't see the Middle East erupt until the five guys went home.
That's right.
No one said anything about that.
They should, but I don't know why the Republicans aren't.
The five guys that they let go, that he didn't go back to Congress and tell them that what he was going to do, he let them go for, what, one guy who we have yet to hear about anymore? Him and his crazy-looking daddy?
Oh, he was coming up for court-martial or something.
So we got him. We bring somebody back to court-martial them, but we let five of the worst people that are the Arab-speaking language over in the Middle East go and let them go back home. And the next thing we know, the whole Middle East, ISIS and ISIL.
Five enemy combatant organizers.
Correct.
Five, maybe because they were fellow organizers, that's why he let them go.
And the and what they fail to realize is these guys are very, very patient. People that are of they are very, very patient.
Very.
And they let these guys go, and all of a sudden, it's erupted. The president does not have a clue what to do, nor does anyone around him. And he doesn't want to go back on his word and send troops over there because he doesn't want to be a war president.
No.
He's the kind of guy who won't beat his kids. And then when they become a drug dealer, say, I don't know what happened.
Well, it must have been somebody else's parents' fault. That's what it's going to be. Because he never blames or lets anything be his fault. Nothing.
And that's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
Eric, your mic is on. And Diva, your mic is on. That's a problem. And no one wants to really deal with the issue of the President of the United States of America has really, really checked out of the office.
Yeah, and he can't blame this on Republicans, what's going on in the Middle East.
I don't. That's the biggest problem. I don't think that he's checked out. I think he wants this to happen, Tracy.
I know you think that.
Yes, I do, because I don't think this is a good man. I think he's a very evil and wicked man.
I think he might be evil and wicked, Jeff.
That I agree with.
He might be evil and wicked, but again, in his evil and wickedness, I don't think he wanted this to blow back on him.
It doesn't matter whether it blows back on him or not, because he's in there for a purpose.
He's going to
take credit for the
fall
of the United States. You understand?
What did you say, Eric?
He can't blame his political opponents on what's going on in the Middle East. That's the problem.
No, he's not going. Yeah, he is. He said that they started it.
Well, actually,
and they didn't. But the thing is the bottom line is this: he will go to the United Nations after the fall of the United States.
Yep.
And he will live happily ever after.
Yep.
As being the one that Jay Williams. The downsizing of America. You remember Jay Williams was made famous for responsibly downsizing government in a city that no longer could support that size of a government. Well, I mean, he got all kind of accolades for the 2010 and this, that, and the other. And true enough, it worked for him for economic development. But we're not talking about any economic development. We're talking about power struggles in the world. And when you are out there, you cannot be a punk. And right now, the United States is seen as a punk because of your leadership.
Yep.
And I'm using
yep.
that term so everybody can understand it.
Yep. We're being
wearing punk. A beige suit while you make an extremely important comment about something going on in the Middle East, and then allowing yourself to be pictured laughing and joking, driving a freaking golf cart.
Do you want to know what they actually
later?
But this, what you say?
Do you understand?
I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is, when I say he's checked out, I'm not saying that he's not doing what he's done deliberately. What I'm saying is, but he is no longer engaged into that which he has signed up for.
Well, he's done with that.
That's what I'm saying.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Sure.
Do you think that they looked at him as Alfred E. Newman?
Yes. They're loving
like
it, the
building.
Ones that don't know that he's on their side, because I believe he's given allegiance to some of these people.
He looks like Alfred E. Newman, and I mean, that's it. There's no respect.
But the question is, the lack of his respect and the lack of respect that he's getting from outside nations, including, I mean, all across the globe. Because you remember, they dogged out President Bush about not being respected.
Right.
This guy, he actually thinks that he's being respected, and then he's got this drum he's beating over this past week and over Labor Day. I don't know if you guys saw the speeches that he was giving about income and income inequality and about minimum wage. So the world is on fire, and America is on fire too, and he's out. Instead of coming up with a strategy to keep us safe as our children go back to school, he's out talking
about
something.
Well, that's just the shell game he's played since his very, you know, since his first election. He plays that shell game. Look over here, and then I'm going to move my hands over here, and it's, you know, he does this constantly. Just keep your eye off the ball.
So the question is,
yes,
when
ma'am.
Will we all wake up? Because I am, and I'm going to try to get some guests on to talk about the real situation that America is in when it comes to its security, the national security. I don't think we realize that as we embark upon 9/11, 2014, that we need to be a little bit more cognizant about not being selfish about what we're making in our pockets, but in our safety of our lives. We need to talk about the electrical grid that is so antiquated, that they're regulating the business, the companies that actually produce the electricity, to where they can't build in the infrastructure because they're dealing with regulation.
All regulation.
That's what I'm saying. We need to talk about how our borders and how they believe that we have cells that are sleeping right now inside of the United States that have been here for a while, who are part of it's ISIS, but they call it, there's another word.
Not Al-Qaeda?
No.
ISIL?
ISIL.
Uh-huh.
That they don't, ISIL means something a little bit different than ISIS, but they're all the same, which is is an Islamic State. And what it means between the two and how they are more dangerous than Hezbollah as well as Al-Qaeda, because now they're becoming an organized finance front.
Because they have the money.
And we need to open up our eyes and say, okay, what do we as Americans need to do to make sure that we stand secure?
Listen. This is where conservatives always blow it, and I'm sorry that they do. This is where 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago, it wasn't quite 20, but you had one of the imams come out and say, spread out across the world. Go to all these other different countries and have children. Have many, many children. And then when it's time, we will take over the world because we'll be everywhere. Now, that's the thought of Islam. Islam is radical Islam, I should say, because I don't want to cast aspersions on good friends and family that are Muslims. I don't want to cast this on them. But radical Islam is a malignant cell in your body. It's a tumor, and it's going throughout the world. In the book of Revelations, they made a statement about those that would not come up under the system of the mark of the beast. Now, whether you believe that that's a real prophecy or not, or it's going to come to pass, it said, if you did not comply, this is what they do to you. They cut off your head. Who's the only people on the face of the globe cutting off people's heads anywhere?
And we're not even going, and I've got to take a break, but we're not even going to go to how they're killing Christians over in the Middle East.
Burying them alive.
Yeah, it's really something that you need to pay attention to, and I don't think we quite grasp it, because I know that we want to make more money, I know that we want to be more successful, but if we don't get an education, if we don't start opening our eyes to see what's going on around us, your money will not buy you out the hell you're going to be in.
This is true.
And that's just real, because right now the dollar doesn't weigh anymore anyhow, and if you keep on giving money out. And money doesn't mean anything. All you're doing is increasing the price, and then you still can't afford it anyhow, because your dollar still doesn't have any effect. Because right now your dollar is somewhere around 30 cents, maybe. And it doesn't. Your 30 cents does not buy you a candy bar anymore.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you buy another car, it's because your old car don't work anymore, usually, right?
That's
what you're getting ready to do with money. Your money is going to be changed because the old one is not going to work anymore.
Well, but not only this old, we don't have a commodity. I mean, we've talked about this. We don't have commodities. We don't have the money. But in actuality, we better be careful because we're not prepared.
To not have any money?
No,
yeah.
To not have anything.
Yeah, you know, we're not.
You know, I was listening to the Congressman Johnson, Bill Johnson, speak this weekend, and he says, right now, if we're not careful, if we have another cold winter like we had last year, there is a high probability for us to have rolling blackouts. Can you imagine what rolling blackouts is in a polar vortex?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can.
I mean, let me explain polar vortex and cold and no heat.
Well,
a rolling blackout is not rolling blackout is not a good thing, Jeffrey.
Well, I've been saying this for how many years now when the president war on coal destroyed our ability to have cheap and not only that, coal-fired electricity supplies 45% of your electrical grid. You know that? And now it's God's mercy that summertime wasn't as hot as it usually is.
That's true.
Because we didn't get any 90 degree in August. We used to go get weeks of 90 degrees in August.
You didn't get that.
Sorry, global warming people.
No, you didn't get that.
I don't see how anybody in Northeast Ohio could be against coal. It's crazy.
Because they don't have an understanding. They don't understand it. And don't get me wrong, do we need to have technology that burns cleaner coal? Absolutely. Do we need to make sure that we're safe? Absolutely. But do we need to keep on with this crazy stuff and not telling the truth to the American people? And what infuriates me to no end is because the news media that is supposed to be giving us facts just gives us their own innuendo and their own agenda, and it is going to kill us if we're not careful.
And the polarized caps are expanding. Thank you.
But it's changing, Jeff.
Huh?
But it's changing.
Everything's changing. The world changes constantly.
It's not supposed to change constantly.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Everything changes.
No,
Does your body change
Everything
constantly?
Change.
No, it stays the same, right?
Everything must change.
You look.
And no one stays the same.
Sun comes from the clouds.
No.
I mean, rain comes from the clouds, sunlight from up above.
Everything
and hummingbirds do fly.
Everything must change.
See, you're finally getting it. I might give you a mic now.
Everything must change. Nothing and no one stays the same.
Don't you know how the song goes?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just know the words. I just know everything. Everything must change. But then
young becomes old.
Yeah, young comes old.
I don't
winter
have any
becomes,
voice after this
winter,
week.
Winter becomes spring.
No.
Spring becomes fall.
No.
What? What?
It's not that's the way of time.
That's the way it goes. That's the way love goes.
There's a different one.
That's a different one. That's the way love goes.
Well,
okay.
All right. What's going on is the people are having the love fest with the president still. I had a limited family reunion over the weekend, too. It was very, very nice.
Let me ask this. When will the love end?
The love will never end because these people will die before they understand anything.
I'm serious.
Let these idiots get out. We have three suitcase bombs missing from the Soviet Union.
So?
Okay. They've been missing for 15, 20 years.
Okay.
Okay? Now, somebody has those bombs.
So what?
Okay. What would happen if you lit one right up in New York and Chicago and L.A. all at the same time?
I don't know. What happened?
Well, you don't know what would happen?
No.
First of all, millions of people would die.
So?
Immediately.
But you know what? You gotta cleanse the earth anyhow. You might as well get rid of them.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. Don't forget, The progressives believe that we need to take this down to 500,000 people.
Well, that's one way to
okay.
do it. So what's the problem?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's
but
what's
the problem?
Problem
is...
What's the problem? If you got to take them down, you might as well take them down. What's the problem?
It's just like that organization that Steve studies with, but is not necessarily a member of.
Yeah, I know.
144,000 people only off of the earth will be saved in their mind.
So what's your point?
So my point is this, that who's going to get in? Who's going to let themselves be destroyed?
Yes.
Yeah, listen, that's
you're
I
gonna, listen, you're going to have to listen to me. What's the problem? They're getting ready to solve a problem with three suitcases. What more do you want?
Hey.
I want everyone. You got to go and you've got to read Condoleezza Rice's book.
I'm going to get the book just because you said
I'm serious. It's really, really good.
What's the name of the book?
Okay, give you a name.
The
book is called No Higher Calling. I'm sorry, No Higher Honor, A Memoir of My Years. It is a fascinating book. She really goes through the timeline. She talks about the NSA when she was a national security advisor.
Right.
She talks about the inner workings of each other,
mm-hmm.
Rumsfeld and Colin Powell, because he was Secretary of State, how he felt, the President of the United States, how she got to where she is. She talks about all the characters across, and it's really good because these characters are alive. And you know who they are because either they're dead today because we killed them or
mm-hmm.
helped them die,
mm-hmm.
like Mubarak,
yeah.
Yasser Arafat.
Right.
She talks about Netanyahu. She talks about, you know, Israel and how Israel plays into this equation and how they don't always play fair. She's talking about the security of the United States and how they kept us safe during those 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the threats. She said that they thought about actually inoculating everyone for anthrax. But they were concerned about the lawsuits of people being allergic to the actual vaccine because they were so concerned about biological warfare.
Right.
And it's really deep. And so you look at this and what's going on in the back office behind the scenes, and then you see your president that's current, and you wonder, are they that detailed? You know what I'm saying?
For the general population.
She said before 9/11, she actually put, I think she said, a 10-hour day in, and then she would go to the Kennedy Center and watch a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And she said after 9/11, I don't think she got more than 4 hours of sleep a night,
mm-hmm.
and she never went to the Kennedy Center again.
Again.
She said because everything changed. And she was always up, she was always moving, and she was always going, and there was nothing for the president or someone to call her at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, go get the paper. She said it is truly, truly amazing of how, you know, how things just changed from one point to the next for the rest of that 8 years to make sure that the Americans were safe because she did not want anyone to die under her watch.
Listen. Condoleezza Rice is a person of great, great, great honor.
And character.
And character.
Wow.
Hillary Clinton is a person of great, great caring for herself and no character.
But let me say this. Now, because I've read the Clinton book,
mm-hmm.
and I got to take a break in just a second. I know Jeff's got to go make Aaron run. But because I've read the Clinton book, if you listen to the deal that was cut by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and then you find out that she was supposed to be truly the head of state and how they actually usurped their authority over her.
Oh.
While she was Secretary of State, so she was never involved in foreign policy because they sent her to China while they were dealing with the Middle East, and then they sent her to the Middle East when they were dealing with China to make sure that she was not in the loop. So they were making decisions based outside of her because, remember, Hillary Clinton, even though you might not like all of her politics, she's still not the same person that you would think she would be based upon who she is with her husband and with her family, because they are a little bit different than Barack Obama. They may be progressives, but they're a different kind of progressive.
Well, they're not stupid, and they're not effeminate.
Gotta go.
Neither one.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
In Estonia, Baltics, the three...
Young becomes the whole. Mysteries do unfold.
'cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are anything in life you can.
This is JJ.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is 9 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 2nd of September 2014. I'm not going to try to move it to February, but I would like to see spring come along and go through spring and summer again, fall, and then skip over winter a little bit, but I won't complain. I've got a guest on, and her name is JJ Smith. She is the author of the 10-Day Green Smoothie Cleanse, and also lose weight without dieting or working out. Hi, JJ. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. And how are you this fine morning?
I cannot complain. I feel good. Life is good.
Life is great. We're here. I need you to tell me, because I was really, really funny. My girlfriend called me the other day and said, hey, I got this book. Will you go on this cleanse with me? I'm going on the 10-day green smoothie cleanse. Will you go on with me? I said, well, she's coming on with me next week. She said, oh, cool, I got to listen to the interview. So tell me, what do I need to do?
Actually,
you are absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. This is, I was almost going to say this is, I won't say this is an easy thing to do, but what I will say, it is one of the most rewarding experiences to go through 10 days to jumpstart your weight loss, to really transition your eating habits and really retrain the way you think about food. Now, for 10 days, though, what you're going to have to do is have green smoothies, primarily for breakfast and lunch. You can have a meal, like, you know, grilled chicken, grilled fish. You can have a meal for dinner. But for 10 days, your primary meals are going to be green smoothies. But it's not those nasty green drinks. They're actually delicious. So many people write me saying their kids are drinking up all their green smoothies because they're just that good. And so the harder part is what you cut out, not so much drinking the smoothies. You're cutting out sugar and white carbs and red meat.
Now, how did I know
alcohol.
That you were going to mess up? I knew you were going to mess up along the way. See, you supposed to say I could just drink the green smoothie and go have a peach cobbler when I got done. But no, you want me to cut out the sugar, too.
I know. I started with the green smoothies taste good, and then I had to hit you with what you couldn't have, and that's actually the challenging part for everybody, is the things you cut out. But I will tell you, it is a great way to jumpstart. You do lose 10 to 15 pounds in the 10 days, but you'll feel more energized. Your digestion, your sleep will improve. You'll really get rid of those sugar cravings, those cravings for bread and carbs. So in 10 days, if you can commit 10 days, you know, it'll really, really change your life and the way you look at, you know, eating forever. So it's a great jump start.
JJ, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get to here?
You know, it's funny. I've been, a nutritionist forever, and I've always been eating clean, used that to really get healthy, lose about 40 pounds. And last year, I was diagnosed with mercury poisoning from my silver fillings, and I swallowed them, but they never left my body. And so I was found to have high levels of mercury in my liver, my kidneys, my gut, my brain. I'm an author, but I couldn't even write a single paragraph. My brain wouldn't function at that capacity. And so I was bedridden. I mean, if I got up to make the bed, that's it for the energy. I had no more energy for the rest of the day. And so they had me on 24 meds trying to get my organs to function, trying to get rid of some of the mercury. And after about 6 months, I just wasn't getting better. And so I started studying about raw greens and how they had the power to heal the body, and green smoothies were a great way to get raw greens because they have the fruit and they taste good. And so I came up with this cleanse where I was going to use green smoothies as my primary meal and see if it would heal my body. And so I asked for 10 of my family members to do it with me for support, and about 100 volunteered. It was just so phenomenal. So we created this Facebook group just so we could communicate, and after the 10 days, we all lost like 10 to 15 pounds. Blood sugars were coming down. Blood pressure was coming down. We all felt energized, and we were like, this cleanse is the bomb.com. And so after that, you know, we left the group open and people would just come and join and want to join. And today we have over 100,000 people doing the cleanse, and we've lost 800,000 pounds to date just since January, where people have kind of decided to make that commitment and do the 10-day green smoothie cleanse.
And so it works. Tell me the book. You can find it. You can find the book anywhere books are sold.
Yeah, any store, Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart. Yeah.
You can find it. You can find it online. You know, you can find this book anywhere. And it's called The 10-Day Green Smoothie Cleanse, and it is a New York Times bestseller.
It was number one in New York Times last week, so that was pretty exciting for us.
Congratulations! That's awesome to hear.
Thank you.
All over the place, and I want to thank you for coming on with me also. But do I need to buy the book? And the reason why I'm asking that is because a lot of people, you know, we find out that, you know, we find the recipe in the back of the book and we just run with it. And I want you to tell us what's so important about us reading the book and going through it so we understand it. Because a lot of times we don't.
Sure. That is a phenomenal question. No one's ever asked me that, but I always feel strongly that people should understand what detoxing is about before they begin it. This is not a diet. This isn't count some calories, portion control. This is really about understanding what it means to detox your body. The book gives you a quiz to determine how much you need to detox your body, and it really teaches you what detoxing is all about. Like, most people don't understand the reason they struggle with weight is not because they don't have the discipline to eat healthy, and everybody knows what they should eat. But the truth is, over the years, we accumulate toxins from our medicines, herbicides, pesticides, pollution. And as we get older, they begin to accumulate. And because toxins are foreign to the body puts them in fat cells. So you can't get rid of those toxins that are in fat cells by dieting. You have to detox the body. So the first thing the book does is help you understand where you've been challenged with weight loss and just overall health. And then secondly, it's not just about recipes. You can go online and find green smoothie recipes for days. These 10 recipes, there's a different one for every day, are designed for detox and weight loss. They have a very specific purpose. Like, you can find recipes that have almond milk in it and cocoa water, and they may taste good. They may taste like a milkshake. But you might as well just go get a milkshake because they have the same amount of calories and have no nutritional benefit. There are snacks that are allowed that we provide guidelines. So the book really teaches you more about the process of detoxing. You will experience some detox symptoms the first few days. Like, you may get some headaches. You may feel fatigued. The book explains why. So when that happens, you understand it. You know it's part of the process. You can get your mind right. And so I think the book mentally prepares you, because it's not just about drinking some smoothies. It's really about detoxing to really improve health and really lose some weight.
And that's why I wanted to ask you, because I know a lot of times we don't go and buy the book, and the book is only $16 plus tax.
Well, right now it's $10 everywhere, Walmart, Amazon.
Oh, really?
It's $10. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's only $10. That's good.
Yes, it's $10 because it became a bestseller, so it's a great price right now.
That's a good price. And so you can go out and buy the book, and you hear a lot about detoxing, and every second Thursday of the month we do a healthy health and wellness. And Dr. Mason comes on and talks about healthy living. And we've talked about detoxes, but this is going to actually benefit you, because if you take what's in the book and you go through the recipes and you read about the detoxing and you read about how your body works, what you're eating, it talks about the meats that you're eating and how to avoid them and why to avoid them. It'll help you with understanding.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, this is the most important thing about the book to me. There are so many detox cleanses that you've heard about over the years, but the difference is this book teaches you what to do after the 10 days. It basically says, now that you're reintroducing foods back into your diet, what are the foods? It gives you over 200 foods that will help you burn fat, and it'll tell you the foods to avoid that will cause your body to store fat. So the chapter that teaches what to do after the cleanse, to me, is one of the most valuable, because that's the thing that's going to allow you to either maintain or continue weight loss and keep that great energy and the mental clarity that you have. It's not just about the 10 days. It's the lifestyle. So the book teaches you what to do after the 10 days.
And I want to get to the next book also, but before I let you go on this 10-day the 10-day green smoothie cleanse, you have recipes in here for children. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. One of the it's about teaching the next generation, you know, great habits. And I think if we give them less refined white sugar and give them things like smoothies, they'll crave healthier foods. And the recipes for kids are ones that tend to, you know, they're either sweeter, more chocolate. It's just things that kids would actually love. And a lot of people have tried them. And they just, you know, the kids will prefer that over candy. And anytime we can get the kids to have some good, and that's the thing about it, they're so nutrient-rich. Some people can have these smoothies and they get more nutrition in one day than they get in an entire week. And we really need that for our kids, since obesity is a real problem with young people today, particularly since they're taking, you know, physical eds out of school. We got to really train them while they're young how to eat healthy.
And I'm going to move over to the next book. It's Lose Weight Without Dieting or Working Out. Help me, because mm-hmm. they have me in the gym 3 days a week. I'm not dieting. I'm just trying to eat right. We just had our county fair, and I was out there mm-hmm. for about 6 days, and I tried to do pretty well. I messed up yesterday with the french fries and the apple dumplings really bad. But please tell me what I can do to get some more weight off.
Well, the interesting thing about exercise, I'm not anti. I just I don't work out, but it is my goal for 2014 to start working out. But the reality is 80% of losing weight is what you eat. 10% are your hormones or your genes. 10% is working out. So the reality is, you can, even if you did go to the gym 7 days a week, you're still going to struggle to lose weight until you change your eating habits. And so what I tell people is, exercise to get healthier is great for cardiovascular health, heart health. But if you want to really focus on losing weight, spend the majority of your time understanding what it is, what foods help the body burn fat and versus lose. And so I'm a nutritionist, but my specialty is as a certified weight loss expert. And what they do is teach us how to use foods to lose weight. And so you get in the habit of understanding what foods do, how they metabolize in the body. And so exercise is great for health. That's why I'm getting ready to get all in on working out. But when I want to get slim and healthy and lose weight and really get down to an ideal size for me, I just totally changed my eating habits and made sure everything I put in my body would not cause my body to store excess fat. And that's where you're going to get the biggest bang for the buck.
Tell me, what is the DEM system?
Oh, the DEM system, it stands for Detox, Eat, and Move. And it's more of a, I call it a permanent weight loss system, because those are the three factors. If you are detoxing, eating clean, eating healthy, and moving, getting some kind of physical activity, then you will be able to lose and maintain your weight loss. Detoxing helps get rid of those excess fat cells, the ones that are stubborn, and you know how they are. Like, you start eating healthy, but it just seems like your weight won't come down. That's why when you detox, you lose weight so quickly. It's just releasing all that fat and toxins from the body, all that excess weight. But then you do have to eat clean. You still have to eat in a manner that's going to help the body lose weight. And then physical activity is the last component. But the problem most people have with physical activity, they don't have the energy, they're too fatigued, and they just don't feel well enough to start working out. So people that generally come to my books are those who are not exercise-minded, but they want to get slim and healthy. So the DEM system is a great way to get started doing some detoxing. The green smoothie cleanse is a great detox. You start eating better. You don't crave the unhealthy foods. And then, lo and behold, you wake up one day and you feel like going walking or you feel like going to the gym because your energy levels are starting to increase. And that's generally the path that most people take, is when they do this cleanse, we have about 80% of them don't do any exercise and they still lose 10 to 15 pounds. But by the end of the cleanse, they're looking for a gym membership, you know. Their mindset has totally changed because their energy's up and they want to get start working out.
Now, you said you're a nutritionist, and so I'm looking inside of your book, and I'm going to balance between the two. between the 10-day green smoothie cleanse and the lose weight without dieting and working out. I like coffee. And
this says
six big foods to avoid during this phase. And the top of the list, now I can let you have the sugar because I use stevia. And you can have the bread because I'm getting off of those. Meat, you know, come on now. Dairy, I'll let you. Alcohol, I don't need a drink. But number one is coffee. How am I going to? That's not nice.
Let me give you some good news. You can go back to coffee after the 10 days. You don't have to permanently remove coffee. See, where coffee is a problem is when you need it 2-3 times a day, your body is dependent upon it to function. And so some people have problems with caffeine addiction and that natural energy, you know, the natural synergy that their body has to be energetic is missing because so much caffeine is in their system. So all I'm asking you to do, and I have a cup of coffee every day, it's how I like to start my day. It is my guilty pleasure, but I don't need it the rest of the day. But the difference is for 10 days, if you take coffee out of your diet, one, coffee is very acidic. And what these green smoothies are alkaline, which makes your internal system more susceptible to being healthy. You won't get disease and illnesses if your body's highly alkaline. Coffee is very acidic, so it works against what the cleanse is trying to do. And so the other thing is people actually are addicted to the coffee, and we're trying to break free of any addiction so that we have control over what we eat and drink. So the first few days, you will get some headaches from not having caffeine. And to me, the hardest thing was, I'm just like you. I used stevia before the cleanse. The coffee was the hardest thing for me. And after the 10 days, you know, I went back to a cup a day because I realized this as a lifestyle. I like my cup of coffee every day. I like that whole process. And so I think, but if you make sure your body isn't dependent upon the caffeine, you don't do it for 10 days, you won't have the need for it. And you will be surprised. The green smoothies, probably by the third or fourth day, will give you the energy boost that you were used to getting from the caffeine. So you'll be good because that was the hardest thing for me, too, and I made it. And if I made it, I mean, I love my coffee, and I made it, so I know you can do it, too.
I'm going to hold you to it because I have your phone number. You know that, right?
I was going to say, you got my number.
I have your phone number now, so.
There's a section in the book that teaches you, gives you some ideas for how to wean off. Like it says, okay, you can do like half decaf and then do half caffeine for a few days if that helps. Another thing is you can start to cut back a little bit less coffee before you start the 10-day. There's ways in the book that I give you tips because this caffeine thing is no joke. If you're used to having it, it's almost like the withdrawals and the headaches you can get can be pretty intense. So I try to teach people how to gradually deal with not having the coffee so it's not so intense during the first few days of the cleanse.
I just, in the morning while I'm up, like now, I use a French press coffee cup, and I enjoy my cup of coffee while I'm doing my show. Actually, my logo is a cup of coffee. I don't have any more coffee for the rest of the day unless I'm out in the evenings and after dinner. But I'm not, you know, after my morning cup of coffee. But in the morning, that's how I get through my 3 hours. That's my stability.
I know. You know, but one of the things the cleanse that's so funny. One of the things the cleanse does is help you realize that. And you can go without coffee and still have an incredible amount of energy that's sustainable. Like, you know how sometimes your energy will fade in the afternoon or you can feel like a nap after you eat? With this cleanse, your energy stays high all day long. Like, people are spring cleaning in it's wintertime. They just got so much energy. They're pulling out boxes and cleaning out garages. And so I thought it was good to see my body have energy even if I didn't have a cup of coffee. So that was pretty exciting for me because I usually couldn't get going until I had my coffee.
It gets me through my day. JJ, I've got a couple more questions for you. I know I only have you for a little while longer. Your website is JJ Smith Online.
Yep. .com. Uh-huh.
And so And so if anybody wants to find out about you a little bit more, go check out your book. You can buy the book on there. You have e-books on there. You have a forum on there. You have a blog on there so that they can follow you, find out who they're talking about and what they're seeing. But then I'm looking at your credentials. How in the world did you get from a bachelor's in math to nutrition? I mean,
well,
I know math is in everything, but hello?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting journey. When I was went to Hampton University and I studied math because it was easy to me. I'm like Rain Man. I remember all numbers. And so I got a minor in computer science so I could get into the information technology field. And I've spent probably, 15, 20 years, because I'm 45 now. So I spent 15, 20 years in the IT industry. But when I got in my 30s, my health started to deteriorate. I was always at the doctor. I gained about 40 pounds, and I just felt like things were spiraling out of control. I remember I was about to have a surgery, and I asked the doctor, why am I always sick? And he said, I don't know. So when the doctor tells you he doesn't know, I feel like it's up to me to kind of take back control of my health. And that's when I started studying about alternative healing, and then I got into nutrition, went on to get several certifications as a nutritionist, and I realized I had a passion for nutrition because I got the certifications just as a hobby because I was so interested. And then I would be out with my friends, and I'd be talking about, well, you know, if you eat that french fry, you might as well go eat a crown because it's going to act the same way in your body. And so they were like, you know so much about nutrition, you should write a book. And so that's where – so I wrote the Lose Weight Without Dieting book just to share my experience, my journey on weight loss, how I got healthier, what I learned about detoxing. So it kind of just kind of came out of really my passion for nutrition and how I know personally it's done so much to help me feel younger, look younger, and really, you know, keep my weight down. Even in my 40s, because, you know, when you start dealing with hormonal imbalances, you know, I'm in perimenopause right now. Boy, those hormones will work against you when you're trying to lose weight. And so
that is
true. I love, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I'll talk to God about that when I get there.
Yeah, why? Just ask them why.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to find out what happened with that.
Yeah, what's the problem? Well, the Lose Weight book has a lot of information on perimenopause and menopause and talks about how you can lose weight. I talk about I had to actually go to a hormone doctor to get natural hormones to really supplement the ones that were declining to get back to the kind of vibrance and youthfulness that I wanted. You know, because I was just feeling old and sluggish and fatigued, and I didn't have the same mental clarity to be productive at work. And hormones really, really did a lot, I'm telling you. And the Lose Weight book, I explained it in a lot of detail, how to go about working with your doctor to do that.
JJ, and my one last question is, there was two. I want to ask you about juicing versus blending, and then I also want to ask you about sugar addiction. And I do know that sugar is an addictive substance.
Yes, it absolutely is. So juicing versus blending, I've actually done both, but I'm a bigger fan of blending because with juicing, it kicks out all the fiber and the pulp, and two things happen. You lose vital nutrients, whereas blending, everything goes in the blender, everything stays in there. So you can actually get more of a complete meal by drinking a smoothie than you can by juicing. Now, the other thing with juicing also is because the fiber is kicked out, you're getting a lot of the sugar from the fruit immediately, and it can cause blood sugar spikes. And we know what happens with that. That is the biggest culprit for gaining weight is when your blood sugar is unstable or it spikes up and down. And so smoothies don't do that because you get all the fiber with them. And so it's more of a complete meal. It actually helps people's blood sugar come down opposed to spike up and down. So that's the good thing about blending. So I've done, oh, and the cleanup. I don't know if you've ever juiced, but the cleanup is just a bear. It takes forever to clean up all the little bits and pieces. With juicing, literally, I mean, everything goes in. You drink everything, and you just rinse everything out. So the whole process from the time you put in your ingredients to cleanup is less than 5 minutes. I mean, I can't cook breakfast and be faster than that, you know?
I agree, because I don't like juicing because it's just too much work.
Oh, my goodness, it's too much work.
It's just too much work.
And then you need so many ingredients, and then you get, like, 1 ounce of juice. I mean.
That is true. That
like,
is true.
Have you noticed?
Like,
you
so very
so much
true.
In there.
you got 2 pounds of 2 pounds of carrots will give you a glass of juice. It's like, hey,
yeah.
Can
yeah.
you please
it's
stop
expensive.
This? And then you've got dye everywhere, especially if you're doing beets and orange. You'd be surprised
oh,
how much
yeah.
Of the natural coloring comes off everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So you are correct
yeah.
about that.
Yes.
So I know my girlfriend and I, we're going to do the 10-day green smooth cleansing. We're going to do it together. We've already
okay,
talked
great.
About it. And I told her, I said, I want to talk to you first, and I wanted to get through the book, and so I'm doing pretty good with that. So we're going to start it.
Okay.
And we'll let you know how that goes.
Yes, reach out anytime. I mean, there's always questions you have once you get into it. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out because we have people in our Facebook group that's done it like 3 times. Like doing it once a month is not a bad way to kind of just make sure you're on point. But there's people who've done it 3 or 4 times, and you get really good at making it work for you. Because now, like, you're thinking about giving up the coffee and things. Can you imagine people wanting to do it, like, every month? That's how great an experience it is in the end. Not the first 2 days, 3 days maybe. But in the
but
end,
you,
it's something you wanted to make a part of your life.
JJ, can you do it once a month? Can you? I mean, is it okay to continue
oh,
well, this process?
No, great, great question. You do not want to do it straight for an entire month. You never want to go more than 14 days of doing this type of detox. Because it will, if you do this for like 30 days straight, your metabolism will slow. And that will make it harder
okay.
to lose weight in the long run. So 14 days is the maximum amount of time to do it straight through. But if you, every 3 to 4 weeks is perfectly fine. It helps trick your metabolism, and it's a great way to keep your metabolism revved up. And then you make sure you stay on point and you don't slide back into your old eating habits. So once a month is perfect for this cleanse.
Let me ask you this. What if I'm not trying to lose weight? What if I'm just trying find a better way of
yes.
life, a cleaner living, and change my habits?
Yeah, the book gives you some tips on how to do it if you don't want to lose weight. I have a cousin who did it. She has 2 children. She is a size 0. And she was like, help me do the cleanse, but I can't afford to lose a pound. I was like, Lord, no. If you lose any more weight, you're going to disappear. But basically what you do is you just you don't do as many smoothies, and then your meal has to be you can add a little bit more carbs and high protein. So the book kind of talks you through if you want to do it for the detox but not for the weight loss.
Okay. Okay. So I wanted to ask that because a lot of people, my mom cannot lose any weight. She's one of those people. So, but,
mm-hmm.
but trying to change your eating habits because healthy living is still good for small people because they don't realize that even the, like I was asking you about sugar addiction, sugar's not good for anyone, no matter who they are.
No. No. Even if you're slim, you still don't want to eat. And the thing is, you can be skinny and unhealthy. So the detox is good if you just want to maintain a level of healthiness regardless of your size. And so that's why we made sure to give people some options who just want to feel healthier, feel more energetic. And taking things out like sugar is good for everybody. Just like you said, sugar is highly addictive. There was this experiment where they had these cocaine-addicted rats, and they gave them the option between cocaine and water sweetened with sugar. And in 3 days, they all switched their allegiance to the sugar water because they got the same high, but it didn't have the same crash as cocaine. But it lets the scientists know that basically sugar is as addictive as cocaine. And we always say, oh, I got to have my sweets, where our bodies are physically addicted to sugar. So we almost have to think about it as an addiction in order to get control of it because it's more of a thing that it impacts our brain and our brain begins to crave it. And that craving is more of an addiction than most people realize.
I found out even with myself as I'm trying to eat better and eat better foods, just eating better, not necessarily decreasing what I'm eating, but eating better foods and the quality of foods. And when I go to a sugary substance, it always works against me the next day because then my body actually craves to go back to sugar.
Yes. And isn't it funny? It's like you can't even – it doesn't take much for your body to begin to crave it. Like just a day or two with too much sugar, you'll want more and more sugar. And so it is important to take sugar out, but really until, you know, you're – like I could have like a piece of cake in my aunt's house and it probably wouldn't would, – like I could eat it. I mean, I don't really have a taste for it. But it doesn't bother me too much because now my body's so trained, it doesn't, it rejects sugar. So like if I have the sugar, my body just tells me I don't like it. It's gonna, I'm gonna get a headache, and then it's gonna make my stomach funny. And so after a while, my body just rejects it altogether. And so even when I try to eat a piece of cake, it's not even a good experience anymore. It's like never mind. And your body can retrain away from those things.
I can do a slice of cake, but I cannot do a can of soda.
Oh, soda will set me back
for days.
Sugar. Yeah, most people don't know. A can of soda has about 10 teaspoons of sugar in it in one little can.
And I've learned that. I really have to be very, very careful with that. I'm very, very cognizant now of I've been drinking water more and more. But a can of soda or a ginger ale, it will set me back days of progress when it comes to getting sugar out of my system.
Yes, absolutely. It definitely is highly addictive, and it's like one of the best things the cleanse does is break those addictions to carbs and sugar, and that's everything. I mean, you lose the battle on eating healthy if your body's craving unhealthy foods, because at some point, even with a lot of willpower, you're going to cave in. And so you really have to do something to really try to curb those cravings because they can be pretty intense.
I want to thank you for coming on with me. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. I've been talking with J.J. Smith. She is the author of the New York Times bestseller, 10-Day Green Smoothie Cleanse, and also the Lose Weight Without Dieting or Working Out. And you can find them anywhere books are sold. She is a great author. I'm so very, very proud of you. It's good to see African-American women actually on the forefront talking about healthy eating and letting us know that we can do it also because our metabolism as African-Americans is different. And sometimes we feel though they're not writing for us. And so I want to thank you for taking the time out to say, hey, we like collard greens, but you got to eat them a certain way.
That's right. You don't want to cook all the nutrients out.
You can't cook them until the day, but you can put them in a blender and make them taste really, really good.
You don't want to put the fat back in them. Maybe try turkey or something healthier.
So you messed up. There you go. You didn't mess it up again.
Small adjustments. Just small adjustments.
You know, they took the cornbread out. So just throw them in the blender. Throw it all in the blender with a banana. It'll be really, really good. And she's got recipes in the backs of both books. And actually, if I were you, I would buy both as a team and read them both. I think reading them both, it will give you a great clarity of eating weight and detoxing, knowing why you're doing what you're doing, and it will hopefully give you a better quality of life because we gotta start doing better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I appreciate you having me on. This has been a delightful discussion. I think anytime we raise awareness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know you guys are going to do great on the cleanse. If you get challenged, you know where to find me.
I will do that. And thank you so much.
No problem. You have a wonderful day.
Have a good day. Hey, you've been talking to Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank JJ for coming on with us. I'm going to take a break right quick, and I'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life.
1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse. Once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
They've been coming in left and right. Phil Collins has stolen.
Is she beautiful?
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 47 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600 on Blog Talk Radio, WSOM app, and TracyandFriends.com. And I am going to have an open mic for the rest of the day. I want to thank J.J. Smith for coming on with me. I'll let you guys know how the 10-day cleanse goes with us. But it's called 10-Day Green Smoothie Cleanse and Lose Weight without Dieting or Working Out. I'm finding out it takes more than just eating. You need to do more than workout. It's all encompassing for weight loss and for healthy living. And the more I'm trying, you've got to do more than supplements. You've got to do it all if you want to be healthy and if you want it to stay off. And I'm finding that out more and more as I go through this process of my own weight loss. And so I encourage all of you to become healthy, because as we talk about the Affordable Health Care Act, talk about what's going on in the future, you want to make sure that you have a better quality of life than those who did not take care of themselves. And I know you guys sometimes get tired of me talking about health and wellness, But I will say this, you don't want to be, you want to do as much proactive as you can to incur a better quality of life and health, be healthy as you age. Because I go in and out of nursing homes quite frequently, and you can see what happens when you don't have healthy living. I was a smoker at one time. I drank at one time. You know, there was a lot of things that I did that was adverse to my own health and to my own body. And so now as I'm getting older, I want to make sure that I have a better quality of life and a better quality of health, because I don't want to be diabetic. I don't want to have lung cancer. I don't want to be shriveled up and look old at a young age. I don't want to have to go through a series of you know, chemicals and surgeries to somewhat be all right. That's just not cool for me. So I'm hoping that you will heed my advice and join with me as we all strive to eat better, look better, and live longer. Eric, your mic is on, and so is yours, Pianchi. I want to go back in the last few minutes of this last hour. I do want to talk about the administration again and continue that, because I think it's very, very, very important. The more I read, the more I am becoming I'm becoming more knowledgeable of the political landscape of how America has been over the years, and what we as the current baby boomers, because we're at the mid-range of baby boomers, so most of the end of the baby boomer, which is 1964, we are turning 50 this year, and we are the leaders of tomorrow. And there's a lot that has happened in the last 50 years that I think that has set America off course. When I look at race relations, we are further behind than we were back 50 years ago. I think we have gone backwards in the last 6 or 7 years. I think we've had the opportunity to do some things, and we have not done them. I believe that we are truly losing this fight. And if we're going to have a better future, we're going to have to stand up, and we're going to have to do a whole lot better. We're going to have to reshape our thinking. We're going to have to start taking sacrifices and making sacrifices for our future so that our young people can thrive and so that our young people can have a better quality of life. When I was at the fair on yesterday, and we were talking about different things, and because I was in the Republican tent, we're talking about conservatives and how things are changing. And even the platform of the conservative, of the Republican Party, is evolving and changing. And I'm not saying that it's changing in the right way, but it's changing. They're no longer as conservative. They're more libertarian than anything else. And with that change, we need to open up our eyes to make sure that we understand what that means to the future. Because we are a nation that has rules, and because we've made our nation a democracy where we vote based on populace, we see things that are changing. I was talking to some people this morning, and we were talking about the lottery and casinos. It was stated this morning, you see, I think they're going to lose 5,000 or 6,000 jobs in Atlantic City due to the closing of several casinos there. And when you only had New Jersey and Las Vegas to gamble in, it was not a big deal for them to have casinos there, and they would go there, and there was all the money was in those two places for gambling. But now that a lot of the states have opened up their laws for gambling and for slot machines and for gaming tables, it has now changed to where. What'd you say, Eric?
I was going to say there'll be one here in less than a month.
That's what I'm saying, and for us to think that our economy is going to change that greatly, I don't think it will, because you're not going to get that many outside dollars. So the money that you're going to get is going to be money that should be spent in other things. And we should not put all of our faith into casinos, because now casinos are everywhere. You can gamble in Pennsylvania. You can gamble in West Virginia, all around Michigan, all the way around us, Kentucky. There's gambling everywhere. So all you are is another gambling pot. And that's why you see Atlantic City going down. because they weren't prepared for the the competition of other states. Even Trump's casino in Atlantic City is going down in the next couple of weeks, my understanding. And I don't see where we're paying attention to that. Do you?
Yeah, I got to say, the casino industry, that's really not growth for a community. It makes money for some people, but a whole lot of people are going to lose money.
The house always wins. And I don't think we get that. The house always wins. And the house does not mean the community. The house means the people that own it. And so I'm just saying, I know that we have a casino that's getting ready to open here in the Mahoning Valley. It's called a Racino because it does not have gaming tables. But I don't think we ought to put all of our trust and all of our confidence in that, because I don't think that it's going to make a major impact in the long run. You've got gambling in Cleveland now. You've got gambling in Columbus now. So what's going to attract all of the dollars? I mean, where's that money going to come from? And the people with money, you know, that 1% that we're always screaming and hollering about that we don't always, you know, we don't like, that 1% is always, if I'm not mistaken, they don't gamble like that.
No.
And that's just something for us to think about.
Yeah, but 1% isn't going to give you theirs.
No. They don't play the lottery. I mean, seriously. When's the last time you saw a billionaire stand in line playing the lottery for a dollar? And the people that I know that play the most of the lottery are the people that need to spend least on the lottery, because usually they're hoping that they'll win. So I've watched people play, you know, $5 a day, and when they hit, all they do is get their $5 back.
Yeah, I think they pay $25, $30 a day.
They never get it back. And so you can scratch your way to nowhere. I also want to talk about the jobs. The Dems were out all weekend talking about jobs and not about education. If you're looking at a minimum wage job, that means you don't have a skill. And if you don't have a skill, you can't expect to get paid any more than minimum wage. I've never seen anyone with a skill making only minimum wage. And if anyone can point me to any job that has a skilled job and they're still making minimum wage, please call me at 347-945-5229 and tell me that what jobs that are skilled jobs are still paying minimum wage.
I know some that are.
Like what, Pionki?
You got college degree people that can't find jobs in their degree, so they're excelling for minimum wage. Also, you're
Pionki,
talking about the yes.
What are their degrees in?
Oh, they have degrees in good fields, Tracy.
Send them this way.
Give me a minute. I could think of some. And also, you're talking about the inappropriation of dollars. I see where that cold water challenge, only 27% of the money that's collected goes to the intended cause. The other is squandered through salaries and bureaucrats and so on and so on. That's not very efficient, I don't think.
It's my understanding the ALS Foundation, a lot of it does go to research. And when you only remember, they only raised $1.5 million last year to this point, where right now I think they're up at around $70 million. I think things will change. I think things will change. It's just like the Susan B. Coleman Center. I think things will change. When you're only dealing with limited dollars, yes, you're only going to spend X amount because you can't pay for the research. And those scientists do not come cheap. You got to understand, nobody who's that good is going to come there for $30,000 a year. And the facilities. And so if you don't, if when you're on limited resources, it costs you more to do less. But when you have the resources, it'll cost you less to do more. And that's something that we need to understand. because I know our Northeastern Ohio Foundation does a great job here in helping people with ALS. Listen, I need to take a break. I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Smearing, you know, Democrats.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk. This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon.
The government of Ukraine raising alarms about Russian troops inside its territory. A senior security official in Kiev says Russian forces have been spotted in two major cities in eastern Ukraine. The threat of a direct clash between Ukraine and Russia comes as President Obama prepares to fly to eastern Europe. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
This is a critical time as President Obama and the democracies of Europe gather to face both the threat of Russian pressure and the frightening prospect of terrorist movements like ISIS with the skill to strike inside Europe. President Obama made it clear last week the U.S. is not going it alone. He wants an international coalition.
Saudi Arabia says it's arrested 88 men suspected of being part of an al-Qaeda cell that was plotting attacks both inside and outside the kingdom. The Islamist group al-Shabaab in Somalia says six of its fighters were killed in a U.S. airstrike. The Pentagon has confirmed that there was an airstrike yesterday. U.S. construction spending staged a strong rebound in July, rising the largest amount in more than 2 years, a plus for the economy. The FBI says it's looking at a series of hackings that led to the release of dozens of nude photos of some Hollywood stars. Here's ABC's Scott Goldberg.
Still not totally clear how A-listers like Jennifer Lawrence might have become hacking victims with what they thought were private pictures ending up on the Internet. A leading theory is their iPhone pics were stored on the iCloud, a vulnerable online server hackers were able to breach. Former FBI Executive Assistant Director Sean Henry says, think before taking sensitive pictures because you may be posting things in cyberspace without realizing it.
Even if it's stored in your personal device, somebody may get access to it.
Apple says it's investigating this, so is the FBI.
Scott Goldberg reporting on concerns about security on the cloud. This is ABC News.
Hey guys, if you're into fantasy football, you'll want to hear this. These new one-week fantasy football leagues at FanDuel.com are the hottest thing in fantasy sports. At FanDuel, you play in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. And with no season-long commitment, you only play when you want. And get this, there's a 36-year-old guy in Detroit named Chris Prince who's won over $656,000 playing at FanDuel. Damn! And he's not alone. Over 278,000 people have already won money playing in these one-week fantasy leagues at FanDuel.com. FanDuel's so big that they're paying out $10 million every week this football season. And right now, FanDuel is giving you up to $200 free. That's right. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. But hurry. This offer expires this Friday. The only way to get up to $200 free is to go to FanDuel.com. Click the microphone in the upper right corner and use the promo code JUMBO. That's FANDUEL.com, promo code JUMBO.
Fast food unions are calling a nationwide strike on Thursday, trying to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Some prominent Democrats have called for a minimum wage hike. They include L.A. Mayor Gil Garcetti, who spoke at a Labor Day rally.
It is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. So today we agree it is time to raise the wage, L.A.
Gil Garcetti. More strong storms rumbling through parts of the Midwest. The National Weather Service says a tornado touched down near Cedarvale, Kansas last night. Two tornadoes also in northern Michigan. This man's home was damaged.
I was just sitting by the window, and it got real dark. And then all of a sudden I heard a roar, and it just, trees started falling.
No injuries reported. For the third time in a week, a plane's been diverted because of a case of air rage, an argument between two passengers on a Delta flight. This is ABC News.
Since 1936, App's goal has been your complete satisfaction, and it's become the nation's number one destination for electronics and appliances. For free delivery on thousands of items, visit abt.com. App, pleasing people since 1936.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios.
Ford F-150 has the muscle and mileage to get the job done. Get yours during summer spectacular sales events. For details, visit driveoneohio.com.
If you or your family love the freedom of swimming any time of year, if you love sharing good times and making great memories, or if you want one of the best total body workouts ever, then it's time to discover the three C's of your very own endless pool. The first C is convenience. Imagine swimming year-round in your own private swimming pool, installed indoors or out, just steps away. The second C is comfort. With sculpted spa seats and your own adjustable temperature, you can easily escape the stress of your day. And the third C is cost. Your endless pool is an affordable luxury at a fraction of the cost of a regular pool. And here's a bonus C, choice. Because when you call for your free endless pool idea kit, you'll receive information on our full line of pools to suit your budget and location.
Call now for free information. 800-787-0685. 800-787-0685.
Hey, I'm Kix Brooks, and this time every year, fire departments remind families to help make their home fire safe. And my friends at Kidde can help you make fire safety simple and worry-free. Replace older smoke alarms, any that are more than 10 years old, and outdated carbon monoxide alarms with the Kidde Worry-Free line. Each alarm has a sealed-in lithium battery that provides a decade of hassle-free protection. Be a safety hero for your family. For more safety tips, visit Kidde.com.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
Michael Savage, weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one stays the same. The young become the old. And mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. You're listening to Chaka Khan and Company. And since I said everything was changed, I didn't know all the words, but, you know, she sings better than me. Some days. Pionki, I was talking about the minimum wage, and I was talking about, and I said that people that have skills do not work minimum wage. Do not work minimum wage.
Right.
And Pionki, you were saying that you know people who are working minimum wage who have degrees. And I said, well, what are they doing? Because what is their degree in? Because usually it may take you a little while to get to where you're going, but you shouldn't be working there too long if you went to school and got a degree in something outside of basket weaving. I talked to a young lady the other day.
Your Y cord.
My Y cord. I was talking to a young lady the other afternoon, other evening, and she was telling me it was her first year at the university, and I asked her what her major was, and she told me it was going to be in fashion merchandising with a minor in business. I said, baby doll, you need to switch that around. I said, your gift will get you into merchandising, but your degree will get you into business. And so go after business, and then you can go and do what you want to do whenever you want to do it. But you don't want to go into fashion merchandise as your major and business as your minor.
Right.
Switch that around right there. And, you know, sometimes we need to take some time to teach our young people that this is what they need to do. And we need to talk to them, those of us who know better. And then parents, if you don't know better, you ought to let us go ahead and tell them. I know they are the best, you know, fashion person in the world. But business will take you a whole lot further than your degree in something else. Even if you take music, mm-hmm. you ought to have a degree in something else that's marketable. And I'll tell anyone, don't go into a history degree because you want to go to law school. If you want to, you can go to law school with anything.
Political science or English?
No, no. You can go to law school with basket weaving, but you don't go to. And I'm serious. You just have to have undergrad and pass the LSAT. But you need to make sure, because you might get to law school and find out you don't like being a lawyer. And if you don't want to be a teacher, then you're going to be in trouble. Because there's nothing you can do with the English and or, you know, you might want to go into communications, you can do a whole lot more. But English and history and those degrees are limited in your scope of where you're going. Pionki, did you find out those what their degree was in? Don't tell me engineering.
Well, here it is, say there are 260,000 Americans with bachelor's degrees earning the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour or less in 2013.
But what are they doing? What's their degree in?
It would be difficult for me to know what all 260,000 of them's degree in, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you think?
I think it may
That's
be true, but you have to
all
understand.
All those people can't be lying.
No, they're not lying, but the question is, what's their degree in? And what are they doing to go after where they're going?
Well, I don't know. I know some pipe fitters who can't find jobs, and they're working
then they need to come. They need to go to North Dakota or Ohio.
Or Texas or Oklahoma.
Because right now we are very, very limited in our our pipe fitters and plumbers right now, especially in welding. They're looking for people all over the place, and they can't find them.
If the pipe fitter up here, you could trip on the sidewalk and fall into a job up here.
But you got to want to. But you got to now. You got to show up for work and you got to go pee in a cup.
Now,
if you can't pee in a cup, don't show up.
Did you see the new statistic last week?
Which one?
We just went to 47 or 48% of people on public assistance of some type.
I believe that.
Yeah. Well, it was 40. It was 47. So it must have been.
But see, they
almost. It's not total. It's not above 50, but it's still in the high 40s.
And again, I say that they need that. People need that because people that are on public assistance makes jobs for other people.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt.
There's a reason why you have an incarceration rate the way that it is, and they're not doing anything to rehabilitate and to make those people productive.
But that's why Obama has to steal the money now to pay all those people off so they'll keep voting for them. Because that's why they talk about increase the wage and all this other stuff, so that the midterms you'll put in Democrats again, so that they'll raise the minimum wage.
But
it's not going to help you.
I mean, what'd you say?
He gave a speech yesterday where he was beating that drum about $10 an hour for the minimum wage.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was beating that. That's why I was so upset this morning. I don't understand how you can beat your chest about minimum wage, but you can't beat your chest about somebody great bomb you behind.
He doesn't realize it, and he doesn't realize, but he's going to realize if they bomb us again anywhere near 9/11 status again, this whole thing comes tumbling down.
What comes tumbling down?
The United States economy. It'll be done. Bush did an excellent job of this, restoring calm in the United States and in the markets.
Stix brought up something, and I'm going to throw this out there, because Stix said that he was reading that 9/11 was more about the destruction of the dollar.
Absolutely.
Than it was the destruction of the buildings.
Absolutely. They didn't come to destroy buildings. They came to destroy the economy. They hit the World Trade Center, okay, number one. They came to destroy your military. They hit the Pentagon. They made a statement, and they were going for your judiciary. I'm not judiciary, but they were going for your other situation with the Congress, but that plane got shot down, of course. Nobody believes it was shot down, but I do. I believe we got shot down that day. But, you know, people need to wake up. And I hate to hear these stupid things being said. You know, I still hear the Bush lied thing.
No, Jeff. I heard the reason why the young man got his throat cut the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they videotaped it?
Yeah.
Was because of George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah, of course it was.
I heard that.
Because he lied and got us into that in the first place.
I heard that. I mean, it's 6 years, 7 years later.
Unbelievable.
I said, wow.
Ignorance of the people.
I said, wow.
If you believe that, somebody out there, I'm sorry to say, you are very ignorant of the facts.
Dianne Feinstein and John McCain are on the same. Would you say, Eric, the reporter over in
Foley? Well, he should have. He shouldn't have been over there.
That's
not the American citizen's problem. He was caught in Syria, and he should have learned the lessons. When people in Katrina in New Orleans didn't leave, they was called stupid and every other thing. So at what point in time do these
George Bush was called that?
Let me ask you this.
Well,
why do you say our reporters don't belong over in Syria?
He was an independent private person. He wasn't working.
Even if he's an independent private reporter, why does he not belong?
He knew the risk.
But again, even if he knew the risk. You know, we need to understand when they cut that boy's throat, it was bigger than his throat that they were cutting. That was to let you know, America, that we're coming after you next. You don't videotape
to
send around the globe.
Know that they're coming after you next.
Yes, it was.
I guess
yes,
some people interpret it that way, but a lot of them don't.
But we need to understand that they were sending a message, whether you like the message or not. You don't videotape a sitting around the globe and let everybody know that I'm cutting this throat just because I'm cutting his throat.
Well, you know, one of Brazil's candidates for president was killed in a plane crash, which goes to the total of I don't know how many, Ecuador and Venezuela, Bolivia have been killed in plane crash. People say that's the CIA's working. So don't you believe in tit for tat? Did not Castro's daughter say, you know, your president can be killed too after all the attempts on Castro's life?
Okay. But again, you don't see where this was not symbolic in any way?
Nope. I don't, but some people do. Some people do and many people don't.
And you think that's okay?
Oh, most definitely it's okay for people to have their own opinions, isn't it?
It's okay to have their opinion, but the opinion that they have, don't we understand that they don't like us? It's all of, I mean, you are the great Satan.
Well,
do you not understand that?
I see where organizations like CNN has cut off all their comment sections. I mean, readers can't give comments like they have been, and I guess it's because the readership is putting out comments which does not go along with the policies that the United States have adopted. I see where polls are not going. I mean, do you think we should invade this, that, or the other? And the polls that's allowed on these sites, people are saying, no, we're tired of these invasions. Well, apparently somebody don't like that.
They may not like it, but it's real.
It's real that people are sick and tired of this wasteful money. We talk about, you have degreed Americans who can't find jobs in their degrees, and at the same time we continue to bring in foreigners, immigrants, illegal immigrants at that. You got degreed Americans who are faced with over $1 trillion of student loans. And at the same time, we're talking about giving money to this group, giving money to these rebels, and making aid dollars to giving aid to these countries if you would follow our policy. That's madness.
Okay, Pianchi, we know that. We know that's madness. But when we talk about minimum wage jobs, when we talk about what's going on in the Middle East, when we talk about the borders and people coming in, when will the American people wake up and find out that they're coming after them? Because the solution to the problem is not to fight for minimum wage. The solution to the problem is to get an education and drive your economy, to become an enterprise.
Right. What drives the economy is people spending money at discretionary money. Apparently, folks don't have discretionary money. Have you looked at your most recent fast food receipt? I understand there's a line item on those fast food receipts entitled minimum wage, where every time you make a purchase, you're paying extra. And I would doubt to say that price, that cost is
not
already in the price. It
that's
is true.
True.
It's all on the Internet.
Because it's on the Internet, don't make it true.
He's true to a certain extent.
Now, you got people who have posted their receipt on Facebook.
And it says minimum wage?
They add a minimum.
Yes.
They're telling you how much is added to your bill because of the minimum wage per item.
Oh. Well,
at the bottom. That's below the subtotal.
Well, it depends on where.
I don't know. I don't know. You might be right on that, Jeff.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, I may be wrong, but this is what I heard was going on as well.
You can tell that just by the simplicity of at one time we used to go and get a quarter pounder with cheese. A quarter pounder was a buck. Cheese was 20 cents. You go back the following week, you ask for a quarter pounder with cheese. You get quarter pounder is a buck, and the cheese is 60 cents. Now you go and ask the cheese is $50. Come on now. French fries. Seriously. You can see it. I mean, you go and ask for something extra. You can't even get extra dressing when you go to the drive-thru unless you pay another dollar.
You get a cup of water at McDonald's, they charge you extra for that.
That is true here in Trumbull County, Tracy, because when the minimum wage went up 19 cents, so did the lower menu.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Things went up right with it. So we need to understand that even if you get a raise, all it's going to do is drive up where you work so that you can't buy there anyhow.
Well, I have never seen, just like taxes are applied to the sum of the items that you buy. Then you got a line item which shows the amount of tax. At the bottom of that, you got a line item that shows an accounting for minimum wage. I've never seen that before.
But what I'm saying is, keep on wanting to increase minimum wage, but we don't want to go after people who are working. I mean, don't get me wrong. The regulations that the taxes, the burden of doing business now, is so burdensome. It's driving small business out of the equation, and going around trying to get. Now, don't get me wrong. In Los Angeles and New York, do they need to change how much they charge for minimum wage? Yes, because it costs them $15 an hour to get to work on the subway.
Well,
that's something different.
But they get paid commensurate to that, though, Tracy.
Maybe it depends on where you are.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying, it depends on the job.
It depends on the job, but it still depends on the employer.
Right.
So when we say minimum wage is minimum wage.
If he doesn't need to.
Maybe they need to change some things.
I mean, increased operating costs always get passed on to the consumer. That's just business.
Absolutely.
Bottom line, in California, they tax the living daylights out of you for everything.
I told you I paid 10% tax. That was a tithe.
Yeah, 30% you pay. But here's the bottom line. Nobody's thinking about that for the small business that only sells a few products and that's staying alive. And I heard an idiot tell me, I heard a gentleman tell me, I can't use that word anymore.
No, you cannot.
The gentleman tell me that, if he can't afford to pay minimum wage, he shouldn't be in business. And I'm up there saying, look, small business is the American dream, and you have to start thinking that we're not in this. You don't start businesses to give other people a job. You start businesses to support for your family.
Hey,
that's
Jeff.
Why you take all risk. Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, I had somebody honestly tell me, very arrogantly tell me, well, then maybe you should change your business model. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, you know,
well, you are
back in the
70s.
Back in the 70s, I went to work up in Detroit. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Detroit. For Bethlehem Steel on an office building there on Highway 75 across the street from the Highway Patrol. And they paid me travel time, plus they paid me for seeking out accommodations for there.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work for American Bridge in Chicago, South Works Plant. They paid me for the same thing, travel time and also accommodations while I was there. So, you know, some companies, and especially some fields, especially in union construction, they have been doing this for decades. And I can't understand, for the best of me, why come there's so much animosity toward unions. They have done the thing many, many times.
It's not all
I
unions.
Mean,
I'll tell you why there's animosity toward the unions. Because they pick sides of who they're going to support and who they're not going to support. And a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, the union is on the wrong side of the people. And they're only on the side of the worker. And the thing is just think about it. Most of your kids in the inner city, they're not learning primarily because of union rules. I'm just telling you.
And let me say this. Let's really talk about union and really get this union thing down. Construction unions are one thing.
Right.
To trade, that's something different, and we need
right.
to work on those.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Teachers union is a whole different thing.
Absolutely. But see, not all unions are equal. Unions are just as much big business as big business. And they're making money, and they're not always representing the people. If they were going to go in there and fight for the people for everything that they need, not overreach, then I would be all for it. But right now, not all unions do that. So people go out on strike. They play games with the people. They cut deals with the people, and the people are not being represented. Because I still believe, even as a Republican, I still believe collective bargaining agreement and having a voice is still important, because if you don't have that, you get taken advantage of.
Can.
Because there are a lot of employers out there who are not fair.
Right.
Now, we have a company here called Valoric, and they are a company that they're paying good wages. The people are happy. They're trying to break a union in there, and they won't say yes to the union because they're already happy. And I don't think they ought to be pressured into one. Because they are already getting that which they need. They have all the safety services they need. They have all the benefits they want, and they're getting paid a great wage, and everybody's happy. And to have
That's
a strong arm come in there. What'd you say, Eric?
I'm sorry, but, I mean, you look at what happened to GM. I mean, those unions knew that those deals they were making would cause the company to collapse.
Yes, they did. They were a great part of it. But don't get me wrong. There's a place for them, because if you don't, greed can come in and take over.
Well, you know, the handwriting on the wall was clear to see in the 60s, the late 60s, when the mills stopped putting money into new places, new furnaces and new ways of making steel here, that should have told everybody it was going to collapse in a few years.
You know what's really funny?
Didn't.
I don't know why they don't go back and do the research on the steel mills, especially those here in the Mahoning Valley, because we were very, very – if you look at Cleveland, Detroit, and Pittsburgh and Youngstown, they were very, very strong in steel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a study on them, on the collapse of them, you will see where the overreach of the unions actually pressured them for demise.
12 to 16 weeks of vacation. How do you do that? How many weeks are there in a year?
Actually, my dad had 13 weeks.
That's what I'm talking about. I said 12 to 16, depending on who you were.
Well, you can do that.
Yeah, that's half a year off. You understand that? Half of a year. There shouldn't be any kind of agreement like that.
What's wrong with having 13 weeks off?
I would love to take
for 13 weeks off. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer.
each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Chaka Khan.
Her
what?
Chaka. Oh, what's my girl from Pittsburgh? That killed herself. I don't want to lose you, girl.
Angela Bosa?
Not Angie. Angela's still living, thank God.
It was Phyllis Hyman?
Phyllis.
Hyman. Oh, yeah. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. We're headed to the top of the hour. It's been a good morning today. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back sitting in my chair in my studio. I enjoy going out to the fair, but I love being back home. And so I want to thank everyone who listened in, who was with us over the weekend and at the fair last week. And I want to thank Gary Ramey, who came in, and Jeff, who came in the studio to make sure we were up. Sticks, Dr. Mason and Mark, who came out to the fair. They didn't get any food this year. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, we didn't get,
what,
you know, and, my connection kept having meetings in the morning. We got to get back to 12 to 3 when we go to the fair.
No.
That's the only time
hey,
we
Tracy?
Get food.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, you were talking about, before the break, you were talking about somebody doing a documentary about this area and the steel mills. And it made me think about a guest you had on last week from Warren. He was talking about all the train tracks around here. I mean, growing up, it was just so booming that you couldn't go anywhere without being held up by a train.
That is true.
You know,
that is true.
I mean,
and that's what I'm saying.
There was at least one school bus that was late every day.
Always. That's what I'm saying. People don't realize that when you have a booming economy, but when you have a union that comes in and takes advantage of the company, it abuses the people. And I understand that unions are important. I'm not against unions. But what I am against is people that are taken advantage of. And like I said, I had a debate with the chairman of the Democrat Party here. And here's the debate was I wanted to give a 3% raise to the people at the Board of Elections because of the job that they do. And he wanted to increase minimum wage. I don't want to pay you to come to work. I want to pay you for the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a good job, I think you should be compensated well, whether it is a public and or private. But I don't think you ought to be making, you know, $1,500 a day because you come out on Christmas.
Right.
And I'd have a problem with that. And there are some jobs that people are making that kind of money because they come out on a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that unions should strong-arm the municipalities.
I agree.
Just for the sake of because they can. And right now, today, Detroit is getting ready to go into bankruptcy court because they're trying to – they filed Chapter 9. Today is the first day of their hearing. It's going to take a while. But this is what happens when there's overreach.
And look what happened, though. The union contracts all were reduced automatically when they went in receivership. That's telling you something. That's telling you that in some cases you can't just have every contract time that you go up and up and up and up just for the sake of it, because that doesn't happen in the private industry. And mostly in private industry, you get paid by what you produce. But the thing is with the unions there, you can't get paid for what you produce, and they encourage you not to produce more than what the contract says, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, if you come in on a holiday, paying you three times as much just because you're there on a holiday doesn't mean you're working three times as better than what you would on a regular day, you know?
Well,
if you come in on Sunday and I group you, that's double times. So there's nothing wrong with it. That's what the people are. Matter of fact, what we would rather see is for you to hire more people rather than having people at workers work. Hire more workers rather than having workers work overtime.
Yeah, but on holidays, and I do understand that holidays are holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got some friends that are making almost $60 an hour, and I'm talking about safety services.
Mm-hmm.
They're making $60, $70 an hour because of their position, of rank. Remember, they're not patrolling, but of their rank. And because they're making $60, $70 per hour straight time,
mm-hmm.
you double time and a half that on a holiday,
mm-hmm.
or double time that on a holiday and start doing the math and then kick in overtime and see what you get. $1,300 for a day. And so they sign up for it because they get it.
Right, right.
They're not patrolling. They're not in the cars. They're just supervisors. And I'm not saying that they're not important. Their job is not important. But no municipality can afford to pay seven people $1,200 to come out on a Christmas day.
I'm talking about construction unions myself. And if I work over a iron worker in New York, he's paid $96 an hour.
Let me tell you something, Bianchi. One of the guys shared with me here that, you know one thing? He said, they're putting up this hotel, new hotel in a place, blah, blah, blah. Well, with that hotel, guess what? You're not going to – they can tell you when it's going to be finished. And they say, well, why do you know? Because they tell you, you can only lay so many bricks a day to put this building up. So much block, so much brick, so much iron, so much this. There goes our crack engineer walking by.
There he is.
Anyway,
okay, you're in trouble.
Yeah, listen, you hear that
voice?
Well,
that's not.
Hello there. It's nice to see you back in this chair.
It's nice to be here. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. You look better in this chair than I do.
No, 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 never.
I smell better in this chair than I do.
No, no, no.
Hi there.
But did we have more fun?
Well, that's
beside the point.
Did we not laugh a lot those days?
What were you laughing at?
Oh, nobody. We had a good
You were
time.
Laughing at me, weren't you?
No, we didn't time. Laugh at you, Rick.
Yeah, you did.
Good
you.
Time.
I heard that you were laughing at me.
No, but I did have a march that I kept playing since you didn't have a thank you.
You know,
since you didn't have a couldn't get the marching band there. I had one that I played every once in a while, but you probably didn't able to. Wasn't able
well,
to hear it.
You know what the joke was?
What?
They told me if I heard it, didn't hurry up and get up, you were going to be playing polka. They said, you better get up. They said, if you don't get up, you're going to be playing polka because Gary's going to play polka on you and there's nothing you can do. So you better hurry up and get up. And so we were in a rush every morning to make sure we got up because if we didn't get up, Gary was going to play a polka.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay,
good happy music.
That is happy music.
That is. You'll hear that at fairs every once in a while.
You should have brought Dale Fenchak in just to play a little bit, you know.
Hey, local, call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I think that the one thing, and Bianchi, he was trying to address that, but I think y'all fail to understand what Eisenhower was trying to tell us. And Eisenhower, he knew that the military was going to be behind the policy. You know, those who contract with the military, they were going to be behind the policy that dictated how things were going to take place over there in the Middle East, so to speak. And of course, the oil people, the oil manufacturers, and then don't forget the Bush family, they are oil people because they did a documentary on George Bush. How he came to be involved in oil back in 1948. And then George Bush also was the head of the CIA. So, I mean, you know, we trace back on these. In other words, we have to be reminded of what Eisenhower tried to warn us about. So if those other nations, if they hate us, it probably has something to do, maybe we wronged them first. And you know what the Bible says, you reap what you sow. And so you just can't continually do nations wrong and expect for them not to retire you. So if they hate us and they have a so-called jihad.
A jihad?
You know, if they hate us and they want to do evil to us, maybe it's because something we've done. If you go over and you bomb people, and you wrong them, like the situation in Iraq. What did Iraq do to us? It didn't do anything to us. And really, last time I understand it was a country that was supposed to be buddies with the United States, and that was Saudi Arabia. And they played a major part in the situation in 9/11, and of course, Bin Laden. Why did he was supposed to be a buddy of the United States. Why did he become to be an enemy? Maybe because he got tired of the United States wronging his people, so to speak.
Okay.
So, Steve, I'm going to let Jeff address you, but
yeah.
Listen here. Don't think this is... Don't you listen. I know, honey, sweetheart.
I don't have any minutes on my phone, so I'll listen to you on the radio.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Jeff, go ahead. Because you got that all wrong.
Listen, do you remember when the Muslims attacked several different times? And one thing, back in when they were brand new people, the Muslims attacked and shut down certain areas, which made some of the people, like not just Columbus, but there was another person that found South America. They were trying to find another route because the Muslims had blocked off all the land routes in the Middle East to trade with Europe and other areas. So understand something, Steve. These people have been aggressive for a long, long time. It has nothing to do with they're mad at us because we did stuff over in their area. We've been having to fight these people periodically ever since 800, 900 years ago. So no, don't bring this craziness, okay? Don't do this, okay? Once again, like I said, that's one thing. But we had agreements with Iraq that they backed up on, and were getting ready to commit jihad against us. That's what my wife did to me. She committed jihad on me.
not only that.
I like that.
Not only that. There, you have to understand, this is about a ideology and about a belief system, and they are this. They will never be peace. So that anyone knows, and you can call somebody up in the White House, there will never be peace in the Middle East. Now there may be, they may have to take a timeout break, but that'll never happen. And America has been trying for years to try to keep it calm. But we have now lit a we've lit a fire over there, and that fire that we are lighting, and even when whether you like Bush or dislike Bush, what he did was it was simmering. There were some people over there that kept a handle and kept them stabilized. And when we took out Gaddafi, when you took out Mubarak, when you went into the Arab Springs, you took out the stabilization. And when you take out the stabilization, then everything goes haywire. And that's what you see today. And this is not about the Iraqi war. This is about stabilization in the Middle East. It was stable. And when we did not leave troops behind, we needed to leave people behind there to keep it stable. I don't think we should have killed Gaddafi or allowed them to kill it or helped them kill Gaddafi. I don't think we should have helped them take out Mubarak. I don't believe we should have. What they did was destabilize a lot of things that were in place, whether you like them or love them, agree with them or disagree with them, that caused what you have now as a manifestation of ISIS or the Islamic State.
Maybe they shouldn't have took out Martin Luther King.
They shouldn't have.
But they did because black community was becoming unstable. Wait a minute, if I could, please. Because the black community was saying, we want to do this, we want to do that. We feel that we should be able to vote without having to make sure that we're intelligent enough to vote. We feel that our kids should be able to go into this school without testing them to make sure they're able to carry the rigors of the curriculum in this school. So maybe they was right in doing what they done. It was becoming unstable in the South.
It was becoming too stable in the South.
Unstable.
How?
It was becoming unstable in the South because black people were relegated to a certain position and everything was working fine for the majority population. Now all of a sudden you got the rebel rousers, you got buses coming from up north down here disrupting the way we have had things forever. The same thing that's going on in the Mideast with the United States intervention.
Let me say this.
I can give you one for one. Give me one and I give you one.
Bianchi, listen, let me say this to you. Do you realize that the integration of America, the way that it was done, was not the best way for them to get it done? We could have done better.
Maybe shouldn't have been done at all, Tracy.
If you got black kids
coming into your school, it's a possibility that your white child would get raped in the bathroom.
Bianchi, listen, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, the way integration was done in America, theoretically it sounded really good, but the application of it, I think it failed. And the reason why I think it failed is because you can see the fruits of our integration. You can see the fruits of what has happened, and if you look at our communities right now, we are worse off now than we were before, if you're honest about it. When you lose your family, you lose it all.
And that's the same thing with Iraq, like the gentleman said. Iraq was a very prosperous country, and all those countries were doing fine. What in the world do this government and its oligarchs, why come they continue? Well, it's not going to continue forever, because sooner or later, even if you keep whooping a dog, sooner or later, he or she will bite you back, and will bite you back very, very hard. And that's exactly what's going to happen. We wasn't part of the we back in 800 A.D., Jeff. Come on now.
No, it wasn't A.D., because you didn't have no Muslims in A.D., okay? You didn't have any Muslims till 600-something. Muhammad didn't come on scene till 623, I do believe.
So you had Muslims back
no
in,
Muslims.
In the 8th century B.C. because the Kushites fought them. I can name
the
leaders.
They were not called Muslims. They were not called Muslims.
It was Mohammedism. It was the followers of Mohammedism was Muslim. But I don't want to talk about that, argue about
that. It's not
the thing is that when the things that went on down the South to keep blacks from getting to the position that they are now is radicalism. It would radicalize, and maybe it shouldn't happen. They were not stable. So that's what you're saying about what's going on in the Mideast.
That is not what I'm saying. What's going on in the Middle East?
No, and not at
that's
all.
That's the picture you painted.
No, it's not.
No, that's what you got out of it. Because that wasn't what we said.
That's the picture that you drew.
You know, and
what I'm saying is, we as Americans, no matter what you do, they're not going to like you. And if you stayed out of it, they weren't going to like you either. Because you got
to
realize,
that's right. America has no rights. Americans have no rights.
You act like Pianki. You act like the people over there in the. You act like the people over in the Middle East that we're talking about, that those people are only after America. They don't like South America. They don't like England. They don't like China. They don't like Russia. They don't like Korea. They don't like anyone who is not with them because they have a ideology that they are going to spread, and it is going to be radical Islam. And if you don't get on board, then you're useless to them.
Well, Tracy, what's radical to some is normal to others. As I said before, for blacks to be able to picket and sit at lunch counters was a radical to the people at that time.
Pianki,
it was radical.
You're talking out the side of your neck.
Can I say
this? Talking straight forward.
Well, you made a statement, too, and you said in A.D. Well, the United States didn't exist in A.D. We didn't exist till 1700s of some sort. And after the colonies were settled, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
but
you were the one said 800 something.
I told you that we've been fighting the Muslims because they shut down the land routes over in the Middle East for trade to the.
In 800?
Yes, 800, 900.
But it was no United States then, so who is the we?
I didn't say it wasn't us. It was trade routes, period. The people that discovered, that say they discovered America, that America was not having to be discovered. They just didn't know about it. But anyway, the people that supposedly, Europeans that discovered us, discovered it by reason of having to find new trade routes because the Muslims had shut them all down. All the land routes.
Well, who knows why that was going on between those people at the time,
because
Jeff?
They are evil, wicked
When covered wagons left Lawrence, Kansas to go to Kansas City.
What'd you say, Eric?
Sorry, I can't compare somebody sitting in the back of the bus or somebody being beheaded or buried alive. I mean, that's what's going on today.
No.
I mean.
Thank you.
There's a whole other world.
Well, heck, if a person is sentenced to death, what difference does it make if it's by lethal injection, electric chair, hanging, or beheading? They're sentenced to death.
So, Pianki, you stand on the side of radical Islam, and you think that America ought to stay out of it completely. I just want to make sure I got this straight. You think America ought to stay out of it completely, and if they come over here and bomb you again, it's so be it. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, you should leave these. You should stay out of these people's business and stop instigating.
So let me ask this.
Hold on.
So my question to you is: no matter what they plan on doing to us here in America, because if you think that if us staying home and we're gonna take, okay, you stay on your side and I'm gonna stay on my side and everything's gonna be cool. If you believe that that's what's going to happen,
it's Tracy. My grandson had a better chance of being shot down by a black person than being killed by a Muslim from over there in Southside Chicago.
Listen, Pianki, listen. You don't believe in certain things, so I can't explain to you how that is, but I'll say this. Before a certain time ago, you didn't have to worry about your kid being really shot down by too many people up here in the north, and in the south they were still lynching us. But not in huge numbers. There were a lot, but not in huge numbers. And that's why NRA gave us the right to self-carry. Don't forget that. They fought for that right for us to be able to pack and protect ourselves from former slave owners, et cetera, et cetera. And see, nobody wants to go for that now because the left has your brain, not you, but has many black people brainwashed into thinking that they're an evil organization because they support guns. Well, the left doesn't want you to have guns because they want to take your behind over by laws, and then when they do, you
well,
will
I
be
agree
beholden
with you on
to
that.
The government.
You're
I know
absolutely
you do,
right.
But this is for the sake of others.
But Pionki,
but when I go to Egypt, my kids can, when I go to Egypt, I don't have no problem. Kids can go out and walk up and down the street. Nobody attack them. You can't do that in the United States.
Can't do that no more over there.
We had a large group go over there last summer, Jeff. They didn't have no problem.
Pionki.
Last summer they weren't overtaken
yes.
by then. Pionki.
Yes,
Pionki. I just said to you that we should have left Mubarak and Gaddafi alone in their place. When we took, remember, we sided with the rebels and helped take them out. Am I getting this wrong? Did America
you
not
add,
just
add
sit
a lot
on the sideline?
More names to that. You can add a lot more names to that.
I said we should have left them alone. Because we did not leave them alone, we created a very, very unstable place. The Muslim Brotherhood now is not even effective because you have what you call an Islamic State, which is
yeah,
ISIS.
Tracy, they had video of the U.S. embassy in Libya yesterday. People were doing swan dives off the top, driving into the pool. It's just a hot mess.
That's what we're trying to tell you. And because of our lack of leadership and our lack of strategic planning, and because of the politicizing of what we're doing, and so what we have to do is we got to make sure that we say the person behind me or the person I'm taking the place off is wrong. It's like a bad manager coming into a company and firing everybody because the old manager hired them. And that's not how you lead people. That's how you destroy a nation or destroy a company.
But the thing is, it's been going on by a certain group in this world for a long time. When the Haitians defeated France, France cohorted with the United States and Britain to make Haiti pay for what France considered they lost in slave labor. Made them pay for it.
Have you ever learned, has anyone ever heard of that you ought to learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it?
That's why I come. You need to take the policy. I mean, I'm still waiting for the Vietnam Khan to invade my neighborhood. Oh, that's a bunch of crap, man. These people are not – leave these folks alone. If you're going to provide them with humanitarian aid, I mean, that's the gesture thing that all human beings should do when a nation is facing that type of calamity. But when you go in and you try to fund both sides of a civil war, when you go in and try to eliminate a politician that's running for a candidacy in another country because they go against your geopolitical ideas, that is wrong.
It's not geopolitical ideas that they're going against. They're going against those people that come against the agreements that we've made with those countries and municipalities or whatever they are over there that we came in and created them into a force to be reckoned with, and then they want to say, well, now we don't want you no more. We cut this agreement, and we're leaving. No, you don't do that. I created this. And I'm going to still have
control,
say so, and control over it.
Well,
now,
Jeff,
if you don't
the
want me in there, then buy me out.
I got to go because we're done today. But okay. That's what I don't understand. I want to know why I can't just take you over and be called United States East. I don't understand.
And that's why I come to Sioux, Cherokee, and the Blackfoot need to do the same thing.
Oh, Pionki, you know what? I really thought you were more mindful than that. I really did.
You mean to tell me that this country did not go across trade treaties with the Native American? Come on now.
Pionki, what I'm saying is this is bigger than an Indian. This is all about your grandson being able to go to school. I got to go. It's all about your grandson being able to go to school on next week.
My grandson
has
over $300,000 paid ready for his school, so he ain't going to have no problem.
So listen, I got to go. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSON.
Talking that old crazy mess.
Hey, so what's up?
Going on, John?
Hey, so what's going on over there in Missouri?
What do you mean, what's going on in Missouri? People like, got fed up with it.
So, like, are they still having protests in Ferguson?
Well, yeah, they shut down Interstate Highway. You got groups of people that still feel that they need to get messages out. They feel that they've been aggrieved, and they're doing what they need to do. They're demonstrating, exercising their First Amendment right.
Hey, Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with Imhotep Charter School?
Yeah, it's a school I've heard of. They started
here,
a lot of
here
charter schools
they
here.
Youngstown. They played at the school in Youngstown here this weekend. Man, they look good.
Oh, yeah.
From behind.
Schools like that you need to have.